Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. California, you've been to California, right?
A couple few times.
That's a strange place, that California.
Yeah, I don't know if I love it or hate it.
Here's what's happened to me. I've been to California a little over a dozen times now. I always like it a lot for 4 or 5 days, and then it falls off a cliff, and I don't like it at all after 5 days.
I have gone to see our friend Carla Felicia, and that was fun.
TV writer. She writes for the television.
For Mike and Molly, which is syndicated now, so I'm sure she's rich.
She's rich.
Maybe I should go visit her more often.
I would visit her. I'd go every other day. Just pal around with her.
And my friend Lisa Nelson, who writes for Last Man Standing, I've gone to see her and actually spent a weekend at the Beverly Hilton.
Oh, that's a nice hotel. I've been there, didn't stay there, but had lunch with some people there. It's a beautiful hotel.
That was very nice. But honestly, after about a day, I'm ready to go home to the real world.
Yeah.
The weather's nice, but it's too much.
It was colder there. My daughter Kylie is looking at schools, and there were two schools that we were looking at in California, and the weather was colder in California than it was here in Chicago. Everybody we talked to said this is the coldest they'd ever remembered it being. So what a lucky streak for us.
Can I tell you one time I went to California? I think I've been 3 or 4 times, and the second to the last time, the same thing happened where everybody, like, I didn't bring a coat because it's California.
Yeah.
And I was freezing. We were laying on the beach in sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
How about that? That's not the California
no.
you want. That's not fair. Let me share a quick story or two with you from our trip. Now, again, the purpose of this trip was for Kylie, who's still on her gap year. She will attend college next year. And her criteria is only expensive schools, only schools that will bankrupt my wife and myself. So we went to see Loyola Marymount, and we went to see Chapman College in Orange, California.
Orange County? Or just Orange?
Or the city of Orange.
There's a city of Orange?
There's a county of Orange, and there's a city of Orange, and they're separate. They like Orange in California. They're big fans of Orange.
Too bad there's not a grapefruit town, because you love grapefruit.
I'd sign up for that myself. I'd audit a class there my own self. The town of Orange, California is like a town from the 1950s, like the downtown. They use it as a set.
I love that stuff.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? It really, it has this weird retro-y look. And there's a whole side story about, I'll get into it later with you, but it's a charming little town that looks the same way now in this year that it did in 1956. They haven't done anything to change that. And I love that kind of retro feel to the town.
There was some hotel/nightclub a bar that we went to when we were out in LA, and I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't the Beverly Hilton. That's where we stayed. But there was another place that was much like that, but it was total throwback to 50s lodge type thing.
Oh, isn't that cool?
There's like red carpet as you're walking up that's really
like that.
Old and stained, but it was very cool.
Yeah.
That I expected John Hamm to walk in.
Very Mad Men-y.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the purpose of the trip, was to take her to colleges that we can't afford. That's what we did. And she did not like Loyola Marymount, but she loved Chapman and Orange, and that's probably where she's going to go. And I have no idea how we're going to pay for it. But
GoFundMe page, start it today.
That's what we're going to have to do. It's a GoFundMe page for her college education. On the trip out, on the flight out on Thursday night. Now, you've watched The Amazing Race, right?
I've seen bits and pieces. I wasn't a regular...
I've never seen it, so I have no idea what this means. But apparently, either last season or this season, I don't know if it's aired yet, because they do like 2 seasons in a year, right?
Don't they? I don't know anything about it other than people compete against each other and there are couples.
They have to get... Right. They find unusual couples to get from point A on the globe to point B, and whoever gets their first wins.
Can I just interject? I would love to see you and me do it.
That would be fun.
No, it wouldn't, because you would be bitching at me the whole time. Because
well, you go too slow.
Yes.
That's why the rest of us would like to see it, too.
I know. I'm just thinking for a visual effect, it would be really great for the viewers.
You go way too slow.
I know. I can't even walk to Knopf Knopf Grill with you and Kevin. I'm like, I have to call you and say, could you turn around? Could you wait for me?
So if the producer said, okay, right now you're in Seattle, but you need to be in Hamburg in 6 days, we'd be out. Like, as soon as they said that, you and I'd be done. We'd go, oh, we can't do that. Wendy's way too slow. She goes too slow.
I might surprise you. I can turn it on when necessary.
Behind me, behind Kylie and myself, as we're flying to Los Angeles, are two, I thought they were brothers at the time, but I looked them up online. One, they're cousins, as it turns out, and they're little people. And one of them lives here in Illinois, and one of them lives in Iowa. But they were featured either last season or this upcoming season. I don't know. On
literal little
race.
People or not just short people?
No, they're little. I think that's probably what got them on the show. That was their thing, right? Because they always go for
they own it.
It's a priest and a rabbi. It's a guy from Earth and a guy from Saturn. It's always stuff like that. So
two little people.
That's what it was.
Trying to make it in a big man's world.
That's exactly the selling point.
All right.
Well, these guys, first of all. The two most obnoxious human beings on the planet, far and away. I can't think of any more people that are more obnoxious than these two guys. And there wasn't a single opportunity. Now, the trip from here to California is a 4.5-hour flight. They mentioned the fact that they were on The Amazing Race about 600 times in that 4.5-hour span.
Bill, that's all they got.
No matter what would happen, like the flight attendant would go, would you guys like something to drink? And they go, yeah, we'll have Sprite. But make it the kind of Sprite that we had when we were on The Amazing Race on CBS. Like, they just kept saying that they were on The Amazing Race over and over
and
over.
What else do they have in their lives?
Nothing. But everybody on the flight, because I started a support group, was people who didn't care at all that they were on The Amazing Race.
Not any one person didn't. I'm sorry, but I'm betting
nobody
you somebody
cared.
Went, oh, that's pretty cool, and then they were over with it.
Sir, can I check your case? Case, that rhymes with Amazing Race, and we were on that last season. Like, everything that happened came back to the fact that they were on The Amazing Race. And it was, you've been on a flight where you just go, I'd rather sit anywhere. I was hoping that the door would open and I could just fall out of the plane so I didn't have to hear these guys about The Amazing Race.
That would have been amazing in itself.
I know.
If you look up, you'll see space, and we were on The Amazing Race.
Steve, at some point, like, and I kept turning around and Kylie's like saying, this is Kylie the whole trip. Don't say anything. Please don't say anything. I go, I'm not going to say anything.
Well,
but
what could you say? Honestly, what can you
say? We don't care that you were on The Amazing
That's
Race.
Rude.
And just leave it at that. It would have been rude, but nowhere near as rude as speaking loudly enough for everyone on the plane to know that you were on The Amazing Race. Because honestly, nobody can. We're all like everybody on the flight's just doing this, just nodding our heads, going, "We know."
I think it was just you.
No, everybody was in baggage claim. We're going to get together like on those dates next year to talk about how upset we were. We're going to have a 1-year anniversary.
You did start a support group.
I did start a support group.
All right, Karen, you know about these little people. How long did they last on The Amazing Race?
Well, it's 11 couples that go through, and they were the second team eliminated.
Good.
So they weren't on very long at all.
Good.
All right, then I'm with Bill. They have no right to be bragging. If they won, Bill, I'm sorry.
Were they obnoxious on the show, Karen?
They don't show a whole lot of them, but not really. They were just kind of, they were slow.
Were they? All right.
Slow like Wendy.
I am so slow. But when I want to be fast, I can. I just, you know what?
Up?
I'm stressed all the time. I like to,
no,
when I can walk to Knopf Knopf Grill, I like to take my time. But, you know, I saw Jim Peterik was here on the Steve Cochran Show, and I walk around and tell everybody that I narrated the Cornerstones of Rock on WTTW.
Well, that's
which
good.
I don't really. Yeah. But, I mean, come on, Karen, these two little people, what else did they have in their life to brag about?
Probably nothing else. That's probably the highlight of their life.
And you're going to rip that from them, Bill?
Yes. Yes, I swear. All right, well, we appreciate it, Karen. Thank you. Adam and Alex, was that their names? I think that was their names because they kept calling each other.
I don't even remember. It was so long ago.
Very forgettable.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the second thing I wanted to bring up, I'll bring up in a little bit because it's a moral dilemma, and I think you can help me with it, all right? It's one of those, what should I have done in the situations?
I love these.
You enjoy these?
These are fun.
You're going to enjoy this one. This is a good one. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you. Give your loved ones the gift of knowledge this holiday season. Maybe that's what I'm going to give you, the gift of knowledge.
Good luck.
Here's a Roger's.
Do they sell a big old package of that?
Yes. I'll give you a Roger's thesaurus. Forget it.
Thesaurus.
Yeah. My tongue is still on vacation, Steve.
It comes with unwrapping instructions, though, because you haven't. Until you have the knowledge.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Knowledge is power.
Give your loved ones the gift of knowledge, I tell you, this holiday season with a Chicago Tribune digital subscription. Knowledge is power. It says it right here on this page. Visit chicagotribune.com/gifting today. All right, now here's the problem. There was a moral dilemma that I suffered while on my trip to California, and as it was happening, I was thinking to myself, I wish Wendy was here. I wish I had her on the speed dial so I could call and ask her what to do in a situation like this, because it's foreign to me, and I've never experienced anything like it. The problem is we only have 32 seconds, and I don't think I could do it justice in 32 seconds.
Well, let's do it after the news.
Can we do it after the news? All right. And, Steve, I'll need your expertise on this as well, because something semi-horrible happened, at least.
Horrible? Now,
no.
I'm thinking someone lost a limb.
No, it's nowhere near that bad. It's nowhere near that bad. Let's say
Bill's dilemma.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Maybe horrible overstates it just a little bit. But something that was one of those situations where I could do something incredibly right or incredibly wrong, and I only had a half a second to decide which of those two options to take.
That's when your true character shows, because what you do in an instant is what you do, what you are, who you are.
Right, the core. It's at my core.
Did it involve little people, this dilemma?
Yes, every story that I have about California involves
I was telling
people.
Bill off the air, I mean, these are little people who I know were bragging about being on The Amazing Race. They have probably been teased their whole life.
Right.
They finally are on a TV show.
For two episodes.
Which they sucked at, evidently.
They were
still on a TV show. You were in movies.
Right. But I don't, like, when I sit down on a plane, I don't continuously mention my roles in films.
Maybe I should.
Would you mind switching seats with me? I had a prominent role in both Major League and Major League 2. How would that look if I did that? And yet they did this for 4.5 hours on a flight.
You've got a wife. You've got lovely daughters who are going to bankrupt you going to college.
Oh, yes.
You have a wonderful work partner.
Yes.
You have a lovely life. You have a toy collection or 10. I mean, really, you've got a lot to live for. You've got a bunny rabbit.
You didn't mention the fact that I was an Illinois State tennis champion. You didn't mention that. Silver Dome Award winner twice. You didn't mention that. Yes, there's all sorts of things I could mention, but I choose not to.
Yeah, because you've got other things. They got nothing.
I grabbed the microphone on the Metro train today and announced that I filled in for you yesterday, Bill.
I loved it yesterday. We were talking to Aaron Katursky about the school closing yesterday in Los Angeles because of a possible threat that turned out not to be true.
Yeah.
And Steve Bertrand was asking Aaron a question, and he says, well, usually I do news here. Today I'm just slumming around with Wendy. I loved it.
That's good wording.
It was good.
All right, let's do a break, and then we'll sort this out. I'll need everybody's help on this one. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Very much.
Right.
And she didn't mean to do it. It was an accident.
Right.
It happened. You telling her, put yourself in that position. If you, like, were falling and you went to grab onto somebody and broke their glasses,
right,
would you ever in a million years expect them to say, by the way, you owe me $150 for these glasses?
If somebody said to me in that same situation, if the roles were reversed and I just flailed my arms out and broke her glasses, first of all, I would have apologized for the outburst of, and just hitting me. I would have apologized. But
she
then
didn't.
If they said, hey, while you did that, and showed her the glasses and go, these cost me $150 and they're shattered because of that hit, I would have absolutely paid for them on the spot, without a doubt. I would have said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought this was a real elevator that was plummeting and we were all going to die, and that's why I did it, and here's $150. Please accept my apology. So I want to ask Steve and ask you, what was the right thing to do? And then I will tell you what I did.
I would have just walked away, and poor Jimmy Mack would have had to hear about it all day. Like, I can't believe that woman broke my glasses.
Right.
And I would eventually, before the end of the day, buy a new pair of glasses.
That would have made sense. Steve?
Well, I think your beef is with Maui Jim if you spent $150 on glasses and they broke that easily.
She gave me a Joe Frazier-like hook. You can't believe the force of the
hit. Get Ronda Rousey on the phone.
She
could have got some
competition. She could cream Ronda Rousey. I mean, it was a painful hit, but I wasn't even thinking about the hit because the hit I took was $150. I wasn't thinking about the cross to my chest, which still hurts, by the way, 3 days later.
I think I would have said something to the sun.
Like, you would have?
What could I have said, do you think? What should I have said?
I'm not direct and brave enough to ask for the cash, but I might have said, you brought your mom on this. She was scared to death. She broke my glasses.
I and thought about it.
But can I just say, what good does that do? And then I would say, why don't you have, if these are $150 glasses, why aren't they in a case?
I had the case, but I wasn't expecting, obviously, you're not expecting.
Well, I know. Right. Life is full of unexpected moments. What if you tripped and fell on them?
Then it would have been my fault.
Oh, God. You know, saying anything because I think this is rude to say anything, but I will be the one to be criticized. So go ahead. What did you do?
Nothing.
What?
Zero.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
So is
Kylie.
I am shocked.
I am too.
I am proud.
I am too.
And I think I'm going to cry.
Don't cry.
I love, my proudest moment of the story is Kylie's wisdom where she said, well, that's up to you, Dad.
Yes. How smart was that of Kylie?
She's a good girl.
To say, the ball is in your court. You hit it. See what you do with it. Because there was that split second of, hey, look, you did this, but instead I just smiled politely and went on with my business.
I'm going to have to hug you.
No, please.
You're growing up?
I guess. And the weirdest part is I didn't regret, I kept going, now I'm going to regret this for the rest of the trip or anytime it's ever sunny again. I'm going to reach for my glasses and go, uh-oh, there are 9 pieces. I didn't do it. I played it the right way.
Oh, you are going to, Santa is going to be so good to you.
I hope he brings me some Maui Jim sunglasses because I'm out of pair.
I'll tell you right now, I know what happened. You're thinking, you know, this is $60,000+ a year to send Kylie to college, and I'm whining about $150 pair of sunglasses.
It's
the least of my worries.
School is that's what it comes to.
I'm so proud of you.
It was not easy, but I think
Feel better that you didn't say anything?
I'm poorer but better, I guess.
She never even acknowledged that she
zero
punched you.
Nothing. Not even a glance, not over a, I lost myself there on the ride. I apologize. There was none of that. So
your heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Yeah, but that's when you get a heart attack is when stuff like that happens. You know that, right? That's when you're susceptible for a heart attack. All right, let's take a quick break. It's Phil F. and Wendy Snyder on WGX.
Haters gonna hate and kind people are gonna rise above. We were talking about Bill, and he's on the, what ride were you on?
The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror ride at Disney's California Adventure.
And a woman got scared, and she threw her hands out as the floor dropped, and she broke your Maui Jim sunglasses that cost about $150.
Yes.
All right, well, someone says, Grandma owes you either $150 or you can punch her back.
I don't think I'd punch her back. She's got an incredible hit. I don't think I wouldn't want her to retaliate.
Someone says I would have sued the crap out of her. Someone says I want to hit Wendy's car because she'll not do anything about it. That's why you have insurance. And I almost said idiot, and I'll refrain
we
from
don't
saying
know
that.
It's an idiot. It could be, but we don't know.
773. Oh, I hope you said something. I am vocal as all heck and let people know if I don't like the present they gave me or if they broke my glasses like she did. I would have asked them to pay for a new pair. Shush up, Wendy. Shame on you, Bill.
Normally, 9 times out of 10, I would do something about it because that's just the way I am. Because there was no question about it. I mean, she knows she hit me. The glasses were in there. They went all over the place in 1,000 pieces. So normally, under those circumstances, but there was just that moment of Kylie being there. And I kept thinking to myself, if Kylie wasn't here to see this, how would I have handled it differently? I might have. But it just seemed the thing to do to just not say anything in Disneyland, the happiest place on the planet.
Someone said, just sitting here smiling, watching Bill grow.
Oh.
I texted that.
Oh,
right.
Did you send that?
Yeah.
In? Thank you.
Wendy, you are full of crap. If someone backs into your car because someone startled them when they were driving, would you want them to pay to get your car fixed? Can I just say something that you people are missing? I have car insurance for that reason.
Right. I get it. I don't have any sunglasses insurance.
Why not?
Because Geico won't return my phone calls because I'm just trying to insure anything.
The lizard's not going to help you?
The lizard won't help me.
Damn him.
No.
I think Maui Jim has a policy if you send them in, they'll fix them or replace them for less than you spent. And I think Maui Jim is in Peoria.
I think they would laugh at me.
No.
I think you don't think so?
No. $150 sunglasses should be insured. Then you can take them out of your pocket and say, that's okay, they're insured.
Maybe. They're like in a million pieces. Like, if I sent them in, the scientists at Maui Jim could spend the rest of the decade just trying to piece them together. It's like, I love puzzles, but you can't put them together.
All right, this is what I love about this world.
What?
You know, everyone has their own opinion, and, Oh, God. You just have to hear this. They're coming so fast and furious. 815, that dumb woman should never have been on that ride if she was that petrified. You were too nice, Bill. She's probably like this in other areas of her life, too. Clueless. Good God. There are some mean, terrible people. Where is the spirit of Christmas?
Can I tell you what helped me make my decision, that split-second decision, is that we were in line with her for like 30 minutes and I wasn't talking to her, but I could tell she was a very kind woman. She really was. If that person was a jerk all through the line, if it were the two guys from Amazing Race, yeah, if it were those guys who broke my glasses, then I get a lawyer, you know, but because this lady was just so kind and polite and I know she didn't mean it. It wasn't on purpose. But that's what made me decide I got to just let this one fly by.
Another quick thing and then a quick phone call. Look at it this way. If your child took a $150 pair of sunglasses to an amusement park, you would tell them you hope they learned their lesson.
Yeah.
Which is what? Put it in a case if they're worth over $100.
I guess. I imagine.
Lisa, I think you have an answer to Bill's problems if he saved the pieces.
I did.
Yeah, Maui Jim, I've had Maui Jim replace my glasses twice, and the second time they replaced them, they were like 2 or 3 years old. They are great. Just send them back to them.
Really?
$5, and they'll replace them.
Lisa, you said you've had them replaced twice. Was it because of the same woman? Did she hit you as well, or is it a different story?
Oh,
no, I'm just really rough on my glasses.
Oh, all right.
I cracked them. Yeah, it was my own fault, and they replaced them, no question. They're a great company.
Really? All right. I'll look. I saw the receipt. I bought them less than a year ago.
Well, then photocopy the receipt and send them the glasses.
Yeah. All right.
Insure it.
And tell them you were on the radio show, and you talk about how great they are.
All right, maybe I can do that. Although, does that make me then like those Amazing Race guys throwing out my resume? I don't want to do that.
No, but they'll do it no matter what. I think they charge $5.
Really?
They'll replace them. They're proud of their product.
All right, that's excellent. Well, thank you for that, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. I had bought my husband his very first pair of really great sunglasses.
Yeah.
A different brand, but an expensive brand.
Yeah.
And when we worked at the Hancock Building, he had taken them off his head, and they slipped out of his hand, fell down the elevator shaft.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And we were on the 37th floor, so really there was no looking back. And I said, where's the case? And he goes, in my bag.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that wasn't even like, it went down there.
Well, that's why I never buy, like the most expensive pair I ever bought before this was $20, because I know they're either going to break or I'll lose them or something will happen.
You have had these for a while.
Almost a year.
And they're not crooked like your Walgreens ones?
No, I keep these in pretty good shape. I usually do put them in the package.
All right, final word on this. Shirley, you get the final word. Go ahead.
Yes, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you did a wonderful
thing. Thank you, Shirley.
It was wonderful, but don't let it eat it.
No, I know.
Don't let it eat at you.
Right.
You know what? Let it go.
Right.
Don't eat it.
Just like they sing in Frozen.
Don't let it give you an ulcer.
Let it go.
That's what we were in Disney. I should have sang Let It Go from Frozen.
This is the I haven't been on WGN in 20 years.
Why did it
Welcome
take you
back.
So long, Shirley? What happened? Why not?
I don't know. I just thought it took you so. I never thought I could get through this soon.
Okay, you weren't on hold for 20 years, though, were you? I hope.
No. The last time I called was the guy that I can't think of his name now. Did the Roach commercials.
The Rhodes commercials?
Commercials on WGN.
I don't know who that, I'm not sure who that is.
Paul Harvey.
Oh, Paul Harvey, right.
Yes, it was Paul Harvey. And not only that, they also wrote me a letter about it. But anyhow, the commercial was never on again.
Oh, that's not fair.
Because I would sit down and eat my cereal, and Paul Harvey would come on about these big black bugs. So I just thought I had to call.
That's
I'm
perfect.
Glad you did. Aren't you proud of Bill? He's really growing and maturing.
I am, but I don't want him to let it bother him.
All right, you talk me out of it.
It is what it is, but it becomes what you make it.
So true. Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Bye.
Good day.
Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
You got enough stuff eating at you. Just let the sunglasses go.
All right, sure.
But do send them to Maui Jim, please.
Maybe they can fix it for $5. That's amazing. I don't know how they do it. Volume. All right, a break and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.
The Christmas spirit is in Bill Leff. A woman broke his sunglasses as she panicked on the Tower of Terror.
Yep.
At Disneyland.
Yep.
And you did not say anything, and you you swallowed it, the $150.
Turned
bucks.
Over a new leaf, Wendy.
Well, good for you. It's the Christmas spirit, Christmas miracles.
Right.
I put my Christmas tree up thanks to Tree Time. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It's pre-lit and easy to put up.
Sure it is.
Not one single ornament on it yet.
You didn't put ornaments on the tree.
We'll get to it. Frank Fontana
is here. What's
the
hurry, Frank?
Hello, guys.
Ornaments don't have to go on right away. You can wait a while.
Why do they have to go on right away?
They don't have to go on at all.
Right.
Really?
And I'm here to tell you that you could do a total non-traditional Christmas or,
can you?
Or holiday. Absolutely. You just scale it down. I did it this year, too. We dug around in our, you know, basement, got all the ornaments out, and we started putting it up, and my wife's like half into it, and like, I think we should go out and shop for more ornaments. Mm-hmm. That was 3 weeks ago. The tree looks exactly the same, and I've embraced it, and I'm calling it minimalism.
Oh.
I like
and
it.
And Wendy, you can adopt that, too. Just tell people, I'm going minimalism.
Because some
Christmas
people would call
year.
It lazy, but yes. We're going to go with minimalism.
Wait, yes. Wait, it's not lazy. This is a very busy year at the Snyder Mac House because the Star Wars movie is opening.
Right.
So Jim is getting ready for the big debut, his podcast at Hollywood Boulevard Theater tomorrow night.
Yeah.
In Woodridge, so his Star Wars tree isn't even up yet.
It's not going to be Christmas.
My anniversary tree is not up yet, which is just silver Wallace
tree?
Sleigh bells for represents each year that we were married.
Really?
And that goes up in our front room.
Who does that?
Me.
Wendy and Jim.
Really?
Yep.
I never even heard of that.
Well, my cousin used to collect these sleigh bells, a Wallace ornament. It's an annual. It's the same every year with a little tiny picture that's different.
Yeah.
And I saw that she had collected them for as long as they've been around, so maybe 40 years of bells, so 40 bells. And I said, wow, you know, I would like to collect those. Those are very pretty, and maybe for every year we're married. So she started us at 97. We got an ornament, and now every year my husband gets me one, and
that's
I
so
hang
sweet.
It on the anniversary tree.
So you but put this tough front up, but you're really just a mush, aren't you?
I am
you?
A total marshmallow
yes.
center.
Yeah,
I really
a
am.
A romantic type you
I
are.
I am, but I haven't
so
done
does that
the-
mean you have three trees?
I have,
or they're mini trees, and then
the there's
one
a
big
tree in the bathroom, just a little mini
oh, wow.
one.
You know, the bathroom tree.
Yeah.
And
is it scented?
You put little toiletries on there.
Right, little
toiletries.
Little pine scented car odor things.
Yeah.
A tree on the porch, which I haven't gotten to either.
Oh, the porch tree.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everyone has a porch
tree. I love decorating for Christmas, but I haven't even shopped yet.
You're a starter, but you're not a finisher.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Yeah. You know it's 9 days away, right?
Really?
It's not. It's under single digits.
It's nine days till Christmas. So
crap.
Well, a lot of people. You're not alone. A lot of people are like that. You know. And I got some ideas on how we could kind of help those people. I think number one is embracing the non-traditional.
Yeah.
And saying this year, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go like minimal. Can we say that?
No.
Yes. No.
Not yes, in regards to Christmas.
You can't say minimalist on there.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But, you know, there's ways. A lot of these kind of like millennial hipsters are doing different things these year. You know, this year with decor, starting with the tree. They're not even doing a tree anymore. So they're going out and getting like vintage recycled molding and cutting it down into a pyramid
shape. Like a tree?
Shaped like a tree and then nailing that to the wall.
I have to interject because, you know, the first one to have their tree up and it was very traditional was millennial hipster Kevin.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm classic when it comes to the tree. Oh, yeah.
Well, I could see that, though. Kevin's got a
on the 4th of July, Kevin had his tree up.
Nice.
The sparklers
I bought
on it.
A rusty Christmas tree made out of bed springs that I
that's
bought
cool.
at a craft show that's out on our front porch.
Yeah, I did
and
that.
And I thought that was really cool.
Totally. And that's a trend now. So, like, the farmhouse chic style that's, Bill, you know very well, is very popular right now overall in the design world. And you're seeing a lot of that, you know,
Barnwood, rusty stuff.
Oh, that's really cool and really hip. Even the ornaments are taking cues from that. You'll see a lot of different stuff. It depends on where you shop.
Right.
Bill, I know you shop at traditional.
Only the finest stores. Yes. Have you seen the upside down Christmas tree?
I love
that.
I've done it before.
The upside down tomato growing situation.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just about being a little different this
that's
year.
Too different.
And what about doing a black tree? You guys into the black tree?
I would love it.
That looks good.
I did that one
year.
I dig it. I think it's total, again, like, it's almost like a little, I love Christmas, but sometimes with these holidays, I like to say a little F you to the holiday.
Yeah.
And stick it
say
to
it,
a little
Frank.
Bit. Yeah, F you, holiday.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Hi, kids.
I feel better now.
Yeah. It is kind of nice to do something different. I like the traditional tree, which ultimately will have ornaments on it.
By the way, there's a meeting scheduled right after the show. I just saw. We just got a text.
Okay.
I don't know what Frank said, but there's a meeting.
No, I'm not worried. But I do like the traditional end of it, but I do kind of like, it doesn't have to be the same every year.
Right.
You know, like if I have five trees, maybe this year we're just going to have two trees up.
That's it. I mean, listen, I'd rather spend my money and time entertaining my guests.
Right.
And I'm a guy who's in, this is my world, decorating, you know, and I'm giving you all permission to take, you know, a ticket and be like, all right, this year I'm taking a little bit of a backseat. I'm going to give more in terms of an experience.
That
sounds
good.
And what I mean by that is you could get the Christmas effect by doing a little bit more with lighting. So your light bulbs, instead of keeping your, 60-watt, energy saver light bulbs, swap them out for some green and red light bulbs. And you'll be amazed the ambiance that happens when you bring that kind of dim red feeling into the space with, one room maybe has the green light on it. And it might be a little trippy, a little throwback for you, Bill. But I think as long as you keep it under control, people will dig that.
Now, here's an important question when it comes to decorating in the holidays. I always maintain that you have to go with a theme and stick to it. Like if you're doing colored lights, do all colored lights. If you're doing white, go all white.
Sure.
You can mix and match.
Can you? Is that all right to do? I mean, I know
if you're doing, I would say yes, if you're doing exterior, let's say all white lights.
Agreed.
Inside, which is a new trend, people are doing more lighting inside, which is I think is okay.
Like around the windows.
Like around
stuff.
The windows, even around banisters, wreaths, around furniture, around a mantle. And there's no reason why light should just stay outside. So yes, so you're both right. You could do both. I would just not do it outside.
Can I tell you an idea we stole from Pottery Barn and I think you guys will like? This is a Pottery Barn idea, but my wife stole it.
Yeah.
Didn't steal the actual display from Pottery Barn because we've gotten in trouble for that in the past. It's a big glass vase, a huge glass vase with silvery ornaments inside and then white lights around it, and it looks fantastic.
It's beautiful.
It looks really nice.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with borrowing inspiration. We call it borrowing.
No, we stole it, Frank. You stole it. Sure. We absolutely stole it.
And ornaments in a bowl have been a tradition at a lot of the craft stores I go to. And I do go look around, but now I have white... I can't think of the garland on the wraparound porch. It's just white.
Yeah.
But then I have giant balls.
You do.
Take that, Nick DiGilio.
That's what we've heard.
I have giant colored balls that go on just one tree in front, which are various colors like red and green and blue and yellow. But that just on that tree, these giant orbs.
And it's purposeful, right?
Yes.
So that's the difference, is if it's just hodgepodge and thrown up, and it's like, all right, these people just kind of rummaged around and threw whatever they had in their box on a tree. But that sounds like it's a purposeful design.
Also, either constant lights or flashing lights, but not both, right?
Yeah.
That's
gets messy and Simpsons-like.
Yes, it does.
It looks like you're watching an episode of The Simpsons.
And I'm you could call it lazy, but when it comes to the lights and stuff, my wife wants like 1,000 lights everywhere. And I'm like, no, I think that it's supposed to represent like a twinkle of snow melting into the tree or something like that. So it should be just a little hint of it.
You gotta enjoy the green lights
of the tree. Yeah, so you just like it.
Yeah, because light—that's the only time of year you get to see those little lights, and they're so cool.
Yeah,
it's like why are they called Italian lights? Do we know? They have them all over the world. Why does Italy get credit for?
Well, if you're referring to the larger bulb-like light, the string light,
they always call those the lights outside the Italian lights.
Right.
I thought they were the smaller ones. Were the little Italian lights?
Anytime I've ever referenced the Italian light, is more of like that cafe feeling where you're in the back patio and you have the string lights going over your head. It's more of the bulb type of light. It's a slight bit bigger.
Yeah.
So maybe it's been adapted into the smaller lights and they just call them Italian lights. I have no idea.
Why are they called Italian ices? Do you know that one?
Well, back in 1922.
You don't need to know all this, Frank. Frank Fontana is here to help you with your holidays, to help you make your decorating even better. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Frank Fontana's still here. I didn't think he'd stay through the commercial read, but he did.
I tried to get out, but you pulled me back in.
Oh, I always do. Frank, I just wish there was a place where people could either see you or hear you, a radio show, a television show. Is there anything like that?
One day, Bill, I'll have a platform.
Someday.
Speak my mind.
Someday soon. And what's your website again? FrankFontana.net.
It's FrankFontana.net. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. I'm always posting cool design ideas and DIYs and all that stuff.
Perfect.
And then every Sunday you can hear me here on WGN Radio.
On this station.
I listen to you.
On this station. conversation.
With sometimes that? Appearances by Mark Carman.
Mark Carman occasionally comes in, although after the underwear and bedding incident, he's not been so much like him coming on my
show. You know what? I have somebody who texted me who has a young woman who wants to meet Mark.
Really?
Maybe we should do a little dating game between the shows.
Yes.
We'll set something up.
I'll give you the info.
Sounds good to
but
me.
But Mark talks to you about how to best decorate your locker room if you're a sports team, right?
Of
Is
course.
That the, the topic?
Yep. Yeah.
You're helping people out. The holidays are just 9 days away, so you're giving people
those last minutes,
last-minute ideas on how to decorate.
Well, you know, we're talking about keeping it simple. You know, that seems to be a trend right now. Natural and organic ornaments and decor seems to be, you know, real popular. I'm seeing a lot of that, and that's kind of going back to that farmhouse type of thing. Oh, by the way, my wife just texted me. Wendy said she made a fresh batch of Christmas cookies, and she'd like to bring you some.
Good, because I just realized at the cousin's Italian Christmas, I'm in charge of bringing beer and cookies. Yeah. I don't bake.
You can re-gift the cookies
my
wife gives
awesome.
You. She's Italian. That could work.
It'll work.
So, right, exactly.
It qualifies.
So here's a little trick I like to do that's a little different from a lot of holiday decor. And you tell me if you ever walked into a house with this. But for those who have like the old school slide projectors or even one of the cheapy motion projectors you can get at, you know, a novelty store, doing a Christmas projection, either of Christmas past, where it's your family's images that are shot on a wall or a ceiling. And it's just kind of like, you ever been to a nightclub and they do that?
Yeah.
Like, project an old movie in the background? Yeah. It's that concept, but in your home.
I That's like that.
Idea. Isn't it neat? Right? And so people, it's so unexpected. They walk in and like, oh my God, you got green light bulbs, red light bulbs in one of the room. You got projections going on the ceiling and the wall. This is like a real experience.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm trying to push people is to focus on the experience versus what you can't afford or what you can afford, you know, in terms of gifts and trees and overdoing the house with, you know, all these kind of gaudy, in my opinion, some things tend to get a little gaudy. Right. You know, when it comes to Christmas. I mean, your image you just showed me of your Christmas little setup is nice. But
I showed Frank a picture of the snow village that I set up every year. And, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I the only thing, I didn't see any Star Wars Christmas.
There aren't any
Star Wars. That's my house.
That's your house. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I thought you would have this really animated, like, toy fantasy Christmas going on.
No, I don't. We don't do that. And we don't do any of the inflatables.
That's really cute.
Well,
your wife won't let you.
No, neither of us are fans of the giant Woodstock out in front, the
three-story
high Woodstock, the inflatable stuff.
That's not
that
what you
seems
meant,
tacky.
Is it?
No, I was thinking more of his, you know, his toy fantasy collection.
Do you dress up the toy room any differently?
Do you have special ornaments for the tree? That would be, you know,
no,
geared towards your hobby?
It's far more traditional.
It is. It's a serious thing for you. It's not like, don't make light of my toys.
No, you can make light of
them. He has two toy rooms. So,
two toy rooms,
too. You know, and you don't decorate them for Christmas?
I was just going to ask the same question.
You don't put little costumes on your action figures of the Cosby kids?
Do you have like a code, key code lock on them so nobody can get in there?
Yeah. It's a series of handprints. And there's a visual recognition.
There's
a scanner that goes across your face.
I
there's
like
that
it.
Kind of stuff.
Like
yeah. How about this? Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Because I was at somebody's house who did this with their fireplace, and I think this looks great. It always looks nice to have a fire going in your fireplace. That's the reason you have it. But we were at a friend's house who had a bunch of candles in their fireplace instead of the big flame.
Love
that. And that looked fantastic.
That goes back to that natural, basic type of thing. And I think that's great. I've seen friends of mine who you know, don't have a ton of money, but they like throw up a faux fireplace and they put like a flat screen, a little mini flat screen in there and have the U-log going.
Yeah, that's
which is kind of a fun little idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's really, if you don't have a ton of money and you want to do something that has big impact, monochromatic design, you know, keeping it one smooth color.
Yeah.
So and to break the mold again, giving the FU to traditional Christmases is, we're so politically correct on the show, is to do that. It's maybe it's a pink theme. It doesn't have to be white, green, red.
Something about blue is just very soothing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're scrambling and you all of a sudden you threw it together, hey, I guess, you know, we're hosting this year. Somebody canceled. So here's your thing. Just go simple. Get one color scheme throughout the entire thing and be done with it. You know, it really could save you a lot of money and time.
The cheapest thing I ever got that makes my whole life happy is a fake plug-in log that I put in our old coal-burning fireplace. Too much money to get it fixed up to actually be fire burning. So it's just, it's real wood with a little plastic insert, and there's tinsel that goes around to make it sparkle and to make that noise.
Love that.
Plug it in. The stockings are hanging there. And I'm telling you, I love just sitting there.
Sure. It's got a little nostalgia to
it. Yeah.
It's really cool.
You know what else is great, Frank? And what's I don't know why I'm so in love with these, but you're probably too young to remember, but back in the days of the silver tinsel tree, when that was everybody's favorite tree, they had that color wheel with the four colors that would spin around slowly. When I go to somebody's house and they have that, it almost brings a tear to my eye. I don't know what it is about that. It just reminds me so much of being a kid. But I know they still sell them. I love those.
Yeah, I do too. Again, a nostalgic Christmas is a great idea. We were just talking. Yeah. Wendy was saying, "What's the should it be Christmas Eve that we're actually putting the ornaments on the tree? Should we spend months decorating, or should it be? We wonder. Back in the day, we won't really know because we were never there, but." You know, did they do that? Did it originally start where it was the morning of or the morning,
I bet it was because,
what a nice tradition that would be, though.
Yeah, because we didn't get them up yet. Jim's like, we got to do it during the Hawks game last night. And we'll talk about that later. Poor Patrick Kane.
I know.
I'm so sad. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, let's maybe just Christmas Eve do it. Because remember, they used real candles back years ago.
Sure.
So they couldn't do it early.
No,
they would probably do it Christmas morning or something.
I think that's a great tradition to bring back that tradition. And I'm going to leave you with this.
Yes.
What is the appropriate length of time post-Christmas for people to leave their lights on? Because this seems to be a hot button topic.
You mean the tree, the lights,
I mean everything. Most, but exterior-wise, where you're affecting the neighborhood.
I used to leave it up to February sometimes, but now I try to get it completely wrapped up by mid-January.
I don't know. I mean,
I'd say Jan 5 is about it.
What?
I would agree.
I love Christmas, but I wouldn't go beyond 10 days after Christmas.
When I'm done with a holiday, I'm done. Like, I don't want to wake up and see more Christmas after Christmas. Let's move on
then
to the next one.
Then you can finally relax. After the hustle and bustle's over, you can sit and lay in your front room and look at your Christmas tree and enjoy it because you've been so busy before Christmas.
I want that space back. I want that square footage
back.
That
is true.
To me, that's what it's all about.
All right,
I got two young kids.
That's a good point.
You look at the nativity scene and the three kings are already off to Palm Springs 10 days after.
They're vacation till next year.
Frank, great to see you again.
You too, guys.
If people want to hear you or see you, their best bet is?
Sundays, right here on WGN Radio from 1 to 3 p.m. They can also catch me online at frankmontana.net. And we got a new something coming soon that we're going to talk about.
Very exciting.
See me nationally on the TV soon.
That's exciting.
The idiot box. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we watch it.
Yes, they do. Frank, thanks.
I'll be the biggest idiot on there. Thank
good
you.
Good for you.
Merry Christmas.
Have a good holiday.
Merry
Back
Christmas
after
to you.
This, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, yesterday the Republicans had their 41st or 42nd debate. I can't remember which one, but it's getting up there. Paul Lisnick joins us right now. Paul, of course, a political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV, can be seen on Politics Tonight, which airs at 5:30 p.m. on CLTV. Paul, can you hear us?
I can.
How are you?
I am good.
I'm glad you watched the debates last night, Paul.
Because so
I
didn't have to?
Yes, I had to watch the Hawks game, and we'll talk about that on the second half of our show. Poor Patrick Kane, that's all I'm going to say.
Record over. What are you going
to do? Yes.
Might be over for some Republicans, too, we'll see.
I'll say something. We promoted this yesterday, and it's like this is the first time there's been a debate where it's under a year away.
Yeah.
Less than a year, finally.
Right.
And, of course, the big promo yesterday was the final one of 2015, as though we couldn't get through the end of the year without having to hear more of this. It actually is the final one for the Republicans. The Democrats have one this Saturday night, so you'll want to cancel your theater plans and all of that and then stay home for a Democratic debate that nobody will probably be watching on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that's your theater right there. The Democratic debate.
Exactly.
Paul, there was some friction yesterday, not surprisingly, some of it coming between Donald Trump and Jeb Bush, but there was other friction as well. What do you make of all the friction we saw last night at the debate?
Well, let me answer it this way. A lot of people, I think, were waiting to see how many would gang up on Trump.
Yeah.
Would Rubio, would Cruz? It is clear to me that Cruz and Trump had some sort of agreement ahead of time that they were not going to go after each other because they couldn't have been any nicer to each other throughout the course of the debate.
Well, what's going on there? I noticed that as well, but why? There must be a reason behind that. What would that reason be?
Well, I think the reason is that Cruz and Trump are actually going after the same people. So if Trump were to attack Cruz, you're going to anger a lot of the pro-Cruz people who then Trump's hope is that when it comes to, you know, actually voting at the caucus, maybe he can get them to vote for him, and he doesn't want to anger them. Cruz has the same point of view. So because they're looking for the same people, don't anger them. Let's just hope in the end I can persuade them to come my way, would be the theory. So the person that took the hits at Trump last night was Jeb Bush, and he did a good job, actually. He had some great lines. The problem is he's so far down in the polls, I'm not sure it matters.
Is there a chance with the semi-alliance between Cruz and Trump that somewhere in the back of their minds it's, I could also be the vice president if I don't get the presidential nod? Is that an idea or not?
You know, and one of the reasons you might be saying that is because there had been some talk that Trump had said he might pick Ted Cruz as a vice presidential nominee of last night. He goes, I didn't say that. I don't really think that. I don't think any of them are playing at that level right now. This is about winning early primaries. If you can't win some of the early primaries, you're out of the game. And right now, Ted Cruz is looking very strong in Iowa. And Chris Christie, by the way, we should mention, you know, had a strong debate performance last night. He's looking very good in New Hampshire. So really, Trump is kind of seeing all of this play out. You're going to see, again, if you can't win some of those early ones, South Carolina, you can't go much further in the game.
What was the biggest surprise of last night's debate? Did anything surprise you?
Well, I don't know that I won't say surprise. I will say the biggest news of the debate was Donald Trump reaffirming that he will abide by his pledge and he will remain in the Republican Party. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, is this deja vu all over again? Didn't he take that pledge? Yeah, he did take that pledge a while back, but then lately he's been moving away from it and suggesting that once again he might just go independent. So last night he, I believe, made news when he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm staying in the Republican Party. There's also some talk about Ben Carson leaving the party because he said, you know, they're messing with the people's will if they have a brokered convention kind of a thing. Ben Carson, I'm not quite sure what side of the coin he ended up on last night, pretty much saying he would stay within the party as long as they don't mess with things at a convention. Ben Carson, by the way, not really having a strong debate performance last night. And, you know, I don't know how long he's then in for the contest for somebody who was doing as strong as he was. We're not seeing that these days.
Paul, did they all have to sign the document that Trump signed saying if they're not the one that's picked by the party that they'll still remain loyal and support whoever is? Did they all sign that or was that just Donald Trump?
Yeah, they all did sign. They didn't. Your first question was, do they have to sign it? Nobody made them do it. But the answer is yes, they all did.
They all did.
And the only one who originally was not going to was Donald Trump. And you remember he had that moment of just going, I'm not going to make that promise. You don't treat me well. I'm out of here.
Right.
And then eventually he did because he met with Reince Priebus. So whatever promises he claimed they made. And then things weren't going his way for a while. So it was always something he was playing with. But it seems as though he settled down on that question now.
Do we have the statistics yet on how everyone is doing in the polls?
Trump said he won. Oh, I see.
Oh. Then he won. If he says he won, he won.
Yeah, he was saying that before the debate was over last night, that early polls were telling. I was amazed. It was seconds after the debate. He says, I'm hearing reports. I've won. No, I have not yet seen polls on the results, but here's my take on who won last night. I think actually Donald Trump did do very well. He remained calm, pleasant. He attacked when he needed to, but I thought he did a good job. And I think that Chris Christie, actually, who is doing strongly, as I said, in New Hampshire, I thought had a strong debate performance last night. Remember, last time he was at the kids' table.
Right.
So he worked his way back up to the main event, and I thought he did a strong job. I think Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they were fighting it out. That's where some of the fisticuffs were flying. And essentially, it was really interesting because this was a national security debate, but Cruz's shots at Rubio were all about immigration, where Rubio's position, which of course he was part of the Gang of Eight, putting together a bipartisan immigration deal that never went anywhere in the House, that's the biggest problem Rubio has in this primary election. Will he be forgiven in some of the evangelical, more conservative states, if you will, for his immigration positions? Ted Cruz is making sure people don't forget about that, as Cruz then had to defend his own record last night on national security.
ISIS has become a major topic, especially lately, for obvious reasons. It seemed to be a running theme with most of the candidates, if not all of the candidates, that they would do whatever it took to bomb ISIS out, and that could include innocent lives. How is that taken by the general public? I know yesterday there was some applause, actually, when people got down and dirty about what they would do with ISIS. But what is the lasting effect on all that, Paul?
Well, first of all, by the way, it seemed as though Trump had some hecklers in the crowd and Rand Paul had some cheerleaders in the crowd. So that's where you heard some of that audience reaction. The only place they seemed to differ on these kinds of policies was on Assad, whether or not they would take Assad out or not, and then tying that to the growth of ISIS and whether ISIS would be a problem if Assad, you know, remains around. But aside from that, Ted Cruz had to defend a little bit of his, you know, carpet bombing approach, you know, right. Let the sand glow kind of comment. You know, the thing is, people right now, Republicans in the primary seem to be looking for a strong leader who is strong on terror issues. And so even when Trump got hit with the notion of, you know, you're going to let innocent people die, he responded by saying, well, I seem to remember the 11 terrorists in New York who had their girlfriends go back home to their countries as they watched their boyfriends fly planes into the World Trade Center. So he said, you know, you think you're going to, I'm combining some answers here, but, you know, you think you're going to let them kill us and we're not going to kill them, and, you know, not going to happen. So they actually make a strong argument for why it is that as a consequential damage to war, the innocent people die, but it sounds pretty cruel and sounds really rough. But, you know, the way ISIS is, ISIS does hide in hospitals and schools. You know, they don't have the ISIS building downtown that we can go bomb.
Right.
They're in mixed in with regular people, and that's why innocents die when you attack and try and kill them.
Paul, can I ask you this? When Ben Carson says or does something that's perceived to be outrageous, he loses points. But when Donald Trump says something that's perceived to be outrageous, he seems to gain momentum and points. What's the difference between those two? Why does it play out differently?
Well, because Ben Carson's, it's not that he's saying things outrageously, it's almost that he's saying things without a base of solid knowledge behind it. I want to be careful, because whenever I'm critical of Ben Carson, the emails start coming to me. You know,
right.
I'm being as neutral as I can in my analysis, and it's just that Ben Carson, who had to show that he's done some homework on the Middle East, has difficulty showing he has a grasp of those issues. But his supporters are, you know, certainly very much behind him. Donald Trump, on the other hand, the reason he gets away with all of these things he says is because I'm not sure people, well, number one, there are people who say, look, he's right. You know, these extreme comments, they go against the Constitution and everything else, but they don't care. You're dealing with, in the primary season, people who do speak in the extreme and have some of those views, so he's music to their ears. In addition, I think it's about the strength of his presentation. It's not so much sometimes what he's saying as how he's saying it and how he takes no prisoners, and people seem to respect it. You know, we still don't know when he has these big crowds at events. Are people going for the spectacle, or are they going because they support him? It's probably a mixture of the two.
What do we expect from not only the leaders in the next few weeks or months, but the people who are trailing, guys like Kasich? What does he have to do to get noticed at this point, by the way?
Well, you know, if they're not getting, and you know, and he tries, man, at these debates, he tries. You know, now with the debate kind of quiet until next year, we're only 7 weeks away from Iowa, so we'll have a little more play on stage. But these guys have to be on the ground, and you're going to see them on the ground in Iowa, in New Hampshire, shaking hands and meeting people. And that's what, especially Iowa, where you have the caucus system. That's pretty much what they have to do. It's not a TV time situation as much as it is meeting with every possible person they can meet who will cast a vote at the caucus. It's going to be really tough for some of these folks who don't seem to be catching fire. Rand Paul, John Kasich, you know, even go to the kids' table. Lindsey Graham. I got to tell you, if you'd watched the kids' debate last night, Lindsey Graham, I think, was stellar. You, whether or not you agree with his positions, there is nobody as strong, as certain, as defined as he is, and this guy just can't catch any fire, yet he's saying a lot of things that I would think many conservatives would believe in. He wants to go over with troops. He wants to take care of it. He promises another 9/11 unless he's president. He's really very, very strong in his rhetoric, but there is something simply, maybe it's being a senator, maybe it's just being, I don't know, whatever it is, he is not catching on. I think it's after Iowa and New Hampshire, certainly, a lot of these guys are going to drop out. There'll be no money there, and they'll drop out. That's why I say these first contests are very important. But remember, you know, it's not like the winner of Iowa becomes president of the United States, but it does keep him around for a while.
That's Paul Liznick, political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV. Watch him at 5:30 p.m. on CLTV for Politics Tonight. Paul, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Hey, happy holidays, guys. By the way, you can catch the repeats at 10 o'clock. If, you know, like you guys are busy at 5:30, tune in at 10.
I watch them both times.
And Mike Toomey, by the way, Mike Toomey is sitting right next to me doing I have no idea what, and he is just waving. He wants me to say hi to you. So.
Tell him we said hello back. And that the Joker's on the loose.
And the Joker's on the loose.
And Robin know that the Joker's on the loose.
Indeed. He's laughing and smiling away.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Happy holidays.
You too.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more show ahead. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm shaken up.
You became a woodwind instrument. I don't know how that happened, but that was a miracle.
A bassoon.
You became a bassoon.
I did. We don't really have time to discuss this on the first half of the show, but I'm telling you something. Someone is claiming that I jinxed Patrick Kane. I don't know how that can possibly be.
You couldn't have jinxed Patrick Kane.
I wanted Kaner to keep that streak going more than anyone
right.
on the planet. Well, he probably wanted it more.
Yeah, I imagine he probably wanted it a little bit more. And he was only, I mean, we wanted him to break Wayne Gretzky's record, but he was halfway there. It's hard to imagine. He's been scoring and scoring and scoring, and he was only halfway there. So it would have been really sad if he was a game or two away.
You're right.
You know?
And there's, you know, still time for him to start another record.
Sure.
I said yesterday that I wanted him to beat Gretzky and get his number in the record, like 88 games in a row where he scored. And someone said that it would go into next season. And I'm like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Is that jinxing him? Because I really jinxed it. I said I was watching Blackhawks games more excitedly to see Kane's streak go on than for them winning. And then Bertrand poses to me yesterday, and this might be what somebody's talking about.
Yeah.
Bertrand says, so you'd like to see him lose 10 in a row if Kane keeps his record? And I said, I can't answer that. Do you remember when you asked me that, Steve?
It's not my tone.
A little bit.
Well, first and foremost, and even a player will tell you, when a player is close to a record of any kind, they'll go, the most important thing is the team winning. That's the most important thing. But
Gretzky, that's why we've been, you know, Kevin's been working to try and get him on.
Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah. He was actually saying that it does become a team responsibility.
Sure.
And the coach needs to make decisions, and Quenneville's been doing really great to support Patrick Kane in his quest to keep that streak alive. The teammates have, you know, I'm watching the last 5 minutes of the game last night going, come on, Kane, or come on, just do it, just right. Get it over with. And those players are so unselfish. Like, had that been me and I was Kane, wouldn't you, like, keep trying? Wouldn't everybody keep passing to him? But they were playing the game trying to get a point.
They were down, like, in the waning moments of the game, they were down 2-0 and then 3-0 with a couple minutes left. I would have kept them out on the ice even
yes.
if I was the coach, just saying, all right, we're probably not going to win this game.
But
down
just
by
give
three
them
goals.
The puck every time. But they weren't. They were trying to actually get back in the game, and then that open netter really made it out of reach.
Do you know about the game where Will Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game? Do you know? Have you ever heard of this game? It's in
one
the
for
NBA.
Each of the women he was with that night.
Yes. One for each of the 10.
Yes. Well, in that game, you have to think at some point the coach just said, just keep throwing Wilt the ball. Well, I don't
right.
care what happens. Just keep giving him the ball, please. He's going to score 100 points if we keep this up. Don't take any shots. Throw it to Wilt. So I wonder if there was any of that behind the scenes. Give Patrick the puck. Just give him the puck. He's only got a couple minutes left. But as it got down to the waning minutes, you go, I don't know that this is going to happen tonight. But there were other games where it came down to the last few minutes and he scored.
I know. I had a bad feeling.
You didn't jinx him. It wasn't me.
I wanted him to. I think he was crying. I got it. We
he
got
did
to
look
discuss
sad at the
this.
End. All right.
The eyebrows tell it all.
Yeah, he did look. He looked pretty dejected at the end.
We'll talk about it the second half of the show. Quick break, and then more with Steve Bertrand to find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder for part two of our show. We're thrilled that you're listening. 312-981-7200. If you want to call in, when we last left you, we were discussing last night's Blackhawks game against Colorado where Patrick Kane's point streak ended, and he was
heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. It was. He seemed a little out of sorts at the end of the game.
Listen, I'm a mom. I can see these things. I can sense these things. And at first I was watching his facial expression, and it looked like, darn it, you know, disappointment.
Right, sure, of course.
But then the eyebrows kind of like went in like you do when you're going to cry.
Yeah.
And then he kind of made a weird face like, ugh. And then the eyebrows again, and then he walked off.
You think he went to the bathroom?
No, not that kind of.
I've seen that face on babies. Sometimes it means they go to the bathroom.
No, I mean, and I am just heartbroken. 26 games in a row.
Right.
I know Gretzky was 51. And
yeah.
Bill, you said something that really kind of put me at ease.
Hmm.
It would have been, what if he had gotten to 50 and then the streak
was
broken?
That is tragic.
I mean, really, there's time in his young career and his 7+ or 8+ years that are going to be with the Hawks.
Right.
I mean, he can do it again.
It's just that an accomplishment like this is so rare, and I think the realization hits you as a player, I may never have this chance to break this incredible record again. We sure hope he does, but it's just so hard to get. Think about it. He has scored in all but 3 games this entire season, which is incredible to think in those terms. But he's had either a goal or an assist or both.
So why didn't they just let him score
right.
one?
If you're Colorado, you won the game. You're up 3-0.
I hate the F.
Just give him the puck. No, you can't do that. It's a pride thing. But just to have done what he did, he broke the all-time Blackhawks record.
He beat Bobby Hull.
That's
and
not
Eddie
bad.
O.
Right.
And who was the last record he just broke? There was one other guy.
Well, Sidney Crosby with Pittsburgh had the longest streak, I think a 25-game streak.
He beat that.
He did beat that.
And Gretzky, I was so into this over this past weekend. When you were gone, I was doing all my Wayne Gretzky work, and he really wanted Kaner to do it. He said it's much harder now with the equipment on the goalies are so much bigger. There's less space to get a puck
true.
In there.
It's very true.
But and Gretzky said, you know, you can get a bunch of other records.
Right.
And you got to keep trying. But it just breaks my heart.
Now,
and the game sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't their best effort. Every once in a while, that's going to happen. Now, be honest with me. If you're Wayne Gretzky, and I know he said he would love to see Patrick Kane break the record. If you hold a record, that's just something you say, right? You don't want somebody to really beat your record. You want to keep that record.
Here's my philosophy on this. I know you really don't want someone to beat your record. I
right.
had the 50-yard dash record at my junior high.
Did
6'6".
You?
6'6".
You were tall back then.
No, that was the time.
Oh, right.
Osteoporosis has kicked in.
It happens.
And I might have had the high jump record at junior high,
really?
Too.
Really?
And then when I went back there to look many, many, many years later, my name was off the board, and it's like, crap.
That hurts, doesn't it?
It does, but in something like this that's telephone, I haven't thought of Wayne Gretzky in a very long time, so the fact that his record was brought up made him sort of relevant again in the current time.
Right.
I know he's very relevant, but more as a memory than currently.
Well, I think he's the guy. I know there's a couple of other players that come close, but as Michael Jordan is to basketball, when you go, quick, who's the best that's ever been? It's really hard to make an argument for anyone other than Wayne Gretzky. If you're a hockey fan,
he's the first
he
to pop
is
up.
The best hockey player that's ever played the game. And I know people will go, what about Gordie Howe? There's a couple of other guys whose names will come up. But Wayne Gretzky just seemed to score at will.
Well, yeah, he was a legend, still is to this day.
Yeah, Bobby Orr's name will also come up. There's a few guys, but Wayne Gretzky's really the most complete hockey player of all time.
Yeah, but don't you want one of your Blackhawks to be
It would be fantastic. And I didn't even know, like, if somebody said before Patrick Kane's streak started, quick, who holds the game right? Who has points in more games than anyone? My guess would have been Wayne Gretzky, but I never would have guessed 51.
Yeah, that's pretty
I would have thought
outrageous.
Somewhere in the 20s, maybe 30. 51 straight games.
Well, he really looked to me like he was crying, and I said that, and Jimmy Mack says, he's a professional athlete. He's not crying.
I said,
not going. But he
right.
looked, I mean, he was right. he was heartbroken, as were we as fans.
I don't think he was crying, but there was that element, like you could read it on his face. Boy, it sure would have been nice to keep this thing going and break the all-time record, but he was so far away. I know that 26 games was a long time, but he was at the halfway mark. That's all. After all this, he only made it halfway. I would have loved to have for him to broken the record, but it's too far away.
It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Christmas is ruined.
Christmas is off. They canceled it.
I'm not putting the ornaments on.
No, you shouldn't put them up. I wouldn't.
I cannot believe we do not have the Star Wars tree up yet.
Yeah, on this year, more than any other year, why wouldn't you have the Star Wars tree up?
It has consumed my husband, just all this Star
the
Wars
fact
stuff.
The movie's opening. All right, a couple of quick things about that. Kim had just mentioned in the news that theaters have put out an edict saying what you can and cannot bring, and they had to announce
cinnamon buns are okay.
You can put cinnamon buns in your hair.
Not
they
in
said
your pants.
You can't put them in your pants, and you can't eat cinnamon buns, but if you staple gun one to each of your ears, you're fine. But they said you can't bring lightsabers, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, who would bring a lightsaber?
Thousands.
I guess.
They would. Because I know there's fans, and then there's this level of fans who don't realize that there's a separation between the movie and life, and they would bring lightsabers, and they would slash people during the movie.
They wouldn't slash people during the movie, but there is, you know, as we learned in the first half of the show, that there was a woman who was petrified on the Tower of Terror
yep.
at Disneyland and mm-hmm. kind of threw her arms out as she was dropping in the elevator.
Right.
And she hit you in the chest and her son in the chest, her grown son.
Yeah.
And broke your Maui Jim sunglasses.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
So, but she didn't mean to do that. Like, with a lightsaber, you wouldn't mean to hurt someone, but if all of a sudden...
If it happens, it happens. When we were in, when Kylie and I were in Disneyland a few days ago, they have redone Tomorrowland to be all Star Wars things. Space Mountain is now called Hyperspace Mountain. There's a Jedi Experience ride. The Star Tours ride has updated with the new movie. There's a lot of Star Wars going on. Disney owns Lucasfilm, so Disneyland is just all Star Wars everywhere. So in almost every line we were in for 2 days, there were people dressed like Star Wars characters, some of them with lightsabers, including the new lightsaber that looks more like a crucifix. It's a very religious-themed lightsaber. You've seen this one, right?
I don't think so.
It's like your standard lightsaber, but there's also a lightsaber that goes width-wise in addition to
lengthwise.
Whose
weapon is that?
I don't know.
You do. You're playing dumb.
No, I swear I don't know.
Okay.
One of the bad guys, but I don't know which one. So people in line had lightsabers, and all during the lines to rides, they would either have lightsaber fights or they would pose, which was ridiculous.
For who?
I have no idea. Believe me, I loved the first three Star Wars. Hated the last three. Loved the first three. But I wouldn't dress like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wouldn't pretend that I was a Jedi warrior. I wouldn't threaten anybody with a lightsaber, but that went on for 2 days.
It's Kylo Ren's, the cross guard lightsaber.
Yeah.
Is it red?
I don't remember what color it was.
I don't believe
But there was a place where you could make, they had a make your own lightsaber station.
Oh,
where
our kids did that.
They did that too. So people were walking around with lightsabers everywhere, and somebody's going to lose an eye, if I can quote every parent that's ever existed. Somebody's going to lose an eye.
Well, my husband has never dressed up. I just want to let you know. He's not into the cosplay end of it, really. And, you know, it's listening to his enthusiasm about it. It's bringing him back to a time when he was a kid. And this, you know, I thought about it, why I enjoyed the movies. Okay. Yeah. And I may have seen a couple of them a couple times, but that's it. Once I see any movie, I don't really rewatch it other than The Godfather.
No. Good
you know,
choice.
And then,
yeah.
Again, that's if it's on when you come across it as you're
right.
channel surfing. But I was, when did the first one come out? 77?
1977, yeah.
All right. I was already exploring the world of boys.
Right.
And underage drinking.
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah. You didn't have time for land speeders and lightsabers.
It just wasn't in my wheelhouse back then, but he was much younger. He's 6 years younger than I am, because I was talking to Chris Duffy in our production department about this, and this is their childhood. I mean, do you remember the first time you went to see the original Star Wars movie in 77? You really do.
Yeah, I can tell you everything that happened. It was one of those, like, eye-opener. It was so amazing to see at the time. And, I mean, I know when you watch it now, we've made great advances, so it looks a little primitive by today's standards, but it was so fresh back then. And it's funny, because it really is a throwback to the serials of days gone by. It really is very Buck Rogers or
Absolutely.
Flash Gordon. But there was just something so interesting and innovative about it. And then the last three, the reason I hated them is they lost all that. It wasn't fun anymore. It was all blue screen and special effects, and it just didn't seem organic anymore. It seemed fake.
But that's because the technology advanced so much that George Lucas wanted to experiment with that new technology. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't loved by a lot of people. A lot of people hated it. Jar Jar, a lot of people did not like.
Right.
But I think it's cool that...
Jar Jar Binks is the most hated figure in history. Like, you could go, okay, Benito Mussolini or Jar Jar Binks. And people go, oh, I hate Jar Jar Binks.
The kids liked him.
Did he? Did
I
they?
Think the, not my kids. I'm just saying kids in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, so playing with the new technology, I mean, a lot had changed since the original three came out.
Right.
And I respect George Lucas for doing that. I just remember saying to Jim, it's so different.
Right.
It's like part of the kitschy old stuff is what made it so great.
I thought so, too. When I saw the first of the prequels, you know, we all had in our heads, if you were a fan of the Star Wars movies, in your head you had what those movies would be like, how great they would be. And then I went to see it with my brother and two friends, because we had seen the other movies together, some of the other movies.
And then when it was over, all four of us just looked at each other. And I know other people had the same feeling. And we all just went, really? For that? We've been waiting for all these years, and that's all it was? It was such a, it was one of the biggest cinematic disappointments of my life. And then the other two weren't much better. They were slightly better, but not much better. So I'm hoping that this redeems it. I'm hoping this new series redeems the foul taste that the last three left.
I think they served a purpose, and I enjoyed them. But again, I am not a Star Wars connoisseur.
Yeah.
And someone just said 847. I remember my parents going out and buying a brand new VCR that was hi-fi just to watch Star Wars on VHS.
Really?
And that's what I love to see my husband embracing, is that throwback to him being a kid and to be able to share it with his kid.
Sure.
The cutest, sweetest thing I have to share with you, when my oldest son, Michael, who's now 16, when he started walking and would go into the front room of the house, and it's an old house and it was kind of dark and scary, mm-hmm. he would like kind of yell to us like, Mom? Dad? And we'd be like, yeah, okay, just making sure you're there, because he was venturing out, oh, yeah. you know, to grab something. And then it started, I can't remember how old he was, probably 2 years old, mm-hmm. and he started going, Dad? And Jim would answer him, what's your favorite Star Wars character today? And Jim would answer him. Every single day in Michael's 16 years, he's asked Jim that question.
Oh, wow.
And it makes me well up with tears, because yeah. it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I felt like left out. So I said, why don't you ever ask me that? And Jim tries really hard to come up with some obscure character and change it all the time, every day for 16 years.
Yeah.
And I said, I feel left out. Why isn't anybody asking me? So then Dylan started asking me, and I always say Salacious Crumb, who is that little thing that sits on Jabba's shoulder.
That's right. That's right. Now, they're not going to do that during the movie tomorrow, are they?
Well,
that would be,
Michael
that would
doesn't be... do it at inopportune moments, but I think it's really sweet, and I can imagine when Michael goes away to school,
yeah.
he's going to text Jim every day and yeah. say, Dad, who's your favorite Star Wars
so.
Character?
That would be nice. Wouldn't
That's
that be
pretty
nice?
Sweet. So
that would be very nice. All right, a quick break, and then a lot more show ahead. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Speaking of Star Wars, I know in radio there's this thing where you're not supposed to mention the competition, but your husband got some pretty high praise today, some national attention, and that's pretty good news for him.
Yeah, some listeners were sending me messages on Facebook, and we got a few texts. Robin Quivers was doing the news on Howard Stern's show and was talking about the super fans that are out there.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Jimmy Mack, co-host of Rebel Force Radio, and they played a clip of him talking about wanting to share in the excitement with his sons, because he was young when Star Wars came out. And Jim got, he was able to see it yesterday if he wanted. He would have been sitting next to Dean, perhaps.
Dean Richards, yeah.
And Jim said, no, we're going to be podcasting at Hollywood Boulevard in Woodridge.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be real about it. I don't want to have seen the movie. I want
to
speculate like everyone else is and then see it with my kids. And Howard Stern played a clip of it and
That's
said,
That's exciting. That's
he
great.
He might subscribe to Rebel Force
oh,
Radio.
Oh, even better. I'm sure he's going through what a lot of Star Wars fans are going through, myself included, is that if you're anywhere near the internet, it's very dangerous right now because people have seen it. They did a screening or two in Los Angeles already, and people are already throwing little hints out of what you could see, what's in the movie. And I don't want to know anything. I've stayed away from everything. I want it to all be fresh, but a lot of people are already throwing out, hey, what about this? And he might have done this, and they might have done that. I don't want to know it until I see the movie.
I have to tell you that this morning I heard Dean Richards, and we'll be talking to him tomorrow about this, but he gave it some pretty decent reviews. We'll let you wait till tomorrow on our show.
Yeah.
And all I said to Jim was, Dean Richards said,
yeah.
I said, I'm not. He goes, no spoil. I said, I'm not going to spoil it. And what I thought was pretty sweet of Dean Richards, he said that this was one of the most thoughtful reviews he's ever done, because he worked so hard to make sure he didn't spoil anything
good.
For anyone.
Good, good.
And it's, see, that's why I can't be a reviewer of any kind.
You'd give away some of the secrets?
It's hard for me to figure it out. I mean, you want to tell a story, but then I get so involved in the
sure,
story
of
that
course.
Sometimes you do spoil things.
When Empire Strikes Back came out, and for people who don't know, that was the second in the series, there's a surprise at the end about the relationship of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. and I'm still being guarded 1,000 years later. I'm still being careful. As we were leaving the theater after seeing it on opening day, people were shouting that secret out to the people because the people leaving the theater were walking past the people entering the theater.
Yes.
So people are going, hey, blank, 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 blank. They were like giving away the big secret that you find out in the movie. And I was thinking, why, what do you get out of that, out of ruining a moment like that? Because it's a big reveal in the movie that you don't see coming. And then guys are just yelling it out to be, hey, I know you haven't seen it yet. We did. Here's what happens.
I don't believe in spoilers at all. And when you watch a series, a television series or something with your wife,
yeah,
you wait for her, right? Like if she can't watch it, like yes. Walking Dead, Jim and I watch. Yeah. And if he hasn't caught up yet, I just want him to watch it so I can discuss it
right,
with him.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I, it's not fun for me to spoil things.
No, of course not.
There are some extensions that if you use Chrome, the browser Chrome,
yeah.
There are a number of extensions that will block Star Wars related content.
Oh, like a filter that'll just block any. Oh, that's a good idea. I was hoping they
would
do that.
Yeah, Star Wars Spoiler Blocker. It's an extension created specifically for The Force Awakens that also forces you to create an account. And there's Spoiler Alert, which forces you to create an account. All these you have to do. And Unspoiler is very quick to set up. And one of the CNET guys said that it was really easy to set up and useful in shielding my eyes from Star Wars content. Or just unplug the computer until... When are you seeing it?
Tomorrow night.
Me too.
Here's what's weird. They were saying about all the midnight showings tomorrow, but there's showings tomorrow at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Why?
Because there's so many fans. When a new movie would come out, it would just be a midnight showing, yeah, and you would have people go at midnight. But now those sold out so quickly.
That they added shows
I think,
prior.
Actually, they knew it would sell out because we bought our, I think we're seeing it at 10.
Oh.
But there were just a huge amount of fans that want to see it,
yeah.
That the midnight showings would have been so sold out, so they offered various times.
Wouldn't you feel bad, though, if you bought tickets to the midnight show and then a couple hours later they released tickets for a 7 o'clock show? Wouldn't you go, I wish I had known that. I would have bought the earlier tickets.
That's why I think they started with the earlier tickets first, because they knew people were going to do it.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. Steve will give you the news. We'll chat with Ryan Burrow about... One of the nicest things, you know, every year at Christmas, somebody does something nice. This year, boy, did somebody do something nice.
And it was neither of us.
It was not either of us, no. all right, a break. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Prince Spaghetti Day. No, that was yesterday. What is today?
No, Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day.
Oh.
You're right.
I'm so confused. Today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ryan Burrow has joined us, mostly just to let us know what day of the week it is. Ryan, what day of the week is it?
Wednesday.
Thank you, Ryan.
Guys. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll do this again. Yeah, that was
we
fun.
Were. Bill was saying we were mad at you. You can share this if you want, because when he started talking, both of us went la 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 la.
He started bringing up some Star Wars stuff that neither of us were. We don't want to know.
It's
so.
Safe, listeners. Just trust us.
It's a funny thing on Facebook. It says Star Wars spoiler, and it's got Star Wars logo on the spoiler of a car. So it's been making its way around
those but crazy car
for
fans.
You listeners, as soon as I said Star Wars spoiler, fingers went in ears,
yeah.
Faces turned away from me.
Yep.
For some reason
you.
Music started playing really loud. I don't know.
The feel-good time of the year is Christmas, and we heard the story on the news today and wanted to explore a little bit more about this. Somebody did a really darn good thing for many people.
We'll hear this a couple times during the year. You know, sometimes you hear those people who drop coins, very, very valuable, rare coins, mm-hmm. inside of Salvation Army kettles. This is a gentleman in Northeast Ohio. He decided, you know what, I got a little bit of money. We don't know who this guy is. He went to two Walmart stores and paid everyone's tab for their layaway products. Totaling more than $100,000.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
And what's unbelievable is that layaway is still around.
That it still exists as a concept, yeah.
God love the people that use layaway, because some of us got into credit card problems years ago because, oh, I'll just put it on my credit card. But it's a great way to want something, to pay a little at a time,
and then go get it. But, you know, one of the gifts was a 70-inch TV.
One of the moms came because when he paid it all, they got phone calls. The people at the customer service of the Walmart called these people up and said, hey, we've got great news. Your bill has been paid. Wait a minute, what?
That's
someone
amazing.
Came in and paid it. So all of these people are coming to the store, big smiles on their faces. You know, one of our affiliates, one of our ABC affiliates in Cleveland, interviewed a woman who had only put $10 down on a $90 frozen princess bed that she bought for her 3-year-old daughter. She's got 4 kids at home, single mom, and she's almost in tears.
That's sweet.
A really, really wonderful story. And we're focusing in on this person, by the way, who did not want to be named, told the Walmart people, here's the money, don't say my name. But he did tell them it was his birthday yesterday when he did it. So it's just an all around great story.
You're crying.
I'm not crying. I'm
Patrick Kane.
I'm Patrick Kane.
It is dusty.
I just broke my streak, Ryan. I marvel at the fact that he wanted anonymity. Like for a lot of us, you go, I'm going to do something really, really nice, but it wouldn't be bad that people knew who did it. But this guy didn't want any part of that.
No. And then that's what's wonderful. And you know, we're focusing on this guy. This is happening all over the country. People are doing these wonderful things. And, you know, it's great to hear stories like this. And, you know, there are people who I know who have done something similar, not to this extent, $106,000. But, you know, occasionally people will go into Walmart and they'll say, you know what, I want you to find 2 people with kids' toys on the layaway and I'll just pay for
really?
It. And then they make those calls. Yeah, it's become a very charitable thing to do now.
Could somebody do that for Wendy with her tab over at Lover's Lane if they wanted to? Could they
you
just go and pick up the tab for whatever
God,
she has?
God, I told you that off the air.
I know, but I think it's a warm Christmas thing and people should know about that.
I love those Lover's Lane billboards, by the way. Adults. Gifts.
It says
adult presents or something.
You know what the other sign says? I love this. It says sexy shoes. Because I think, well, what shoes aren't sexy? Come on.
There are sexy shoes. You're such a guy.
I don't know.
Sexy shoes are the
big
stiletto heels.
Make heels. Them sexy, do they?
Maybe lace up a little bit.
You can't get sexy moccasins? Come on.
No.
Some nice construction boots.
It's That's just those two words together make me laugh. Like people go, yeah, let's get us some sexy shoes.
All right. I'm telling you, you're the only guy that says that, and I'm going to put everybody on the spot. Bertrand, come on. Do you know a sexy shoe when you see one?
Seriously, do you?
A sexy shoe?
Yeah, do you want some sexy shoes?
No, not for you. If a woman is wearing a pair of shoes and they were considered sexy shoes, would you?
I have to hear her talk first.
That makes sense to me. A woman can't be sexy just by virtue of her shoes. That's not going to make you more. Like, if you're a frumpy woman, you put on a pair of sexy shoes, guys aren't going to go, now we're talking. That's not going
to
happen.
Wait a minute. Do you have to be wearing the shoe for it to be sexy?
No, just
or is it the shoe itself is sexy?
All right, you three guys. Kevin, please, you know what a sexy shoe is, don't you?
I have these Oxfords that are.
Not
those
you.
Are those are sexy.
Like those are
I've
nice.
I've seen those. You should, Ryan.
Yeah. Guys, mm-hmm. Hey, can I wear those, by the way?
Good luck getting some for Christmas.
Shoe swap?
That's all I got to say. Some sexy shoes.
Shoes are on my list, actually, so that'll work out.
Not sexy shoes for you, Kevin.
On our anniversary, I take my wife to Shoe Carnival. Boy, do we have a good time.
They really show off his calf.
Do you
see that muscle right there?
Yes.
You do the tilt-a-whirl at the
every
Shoe
year.
Carnival? Yeah, it's
every
fun.
Year. Hot.
Surrounded by a bunch of dorks, okay?
You want to talk about Star Wars?
I may be married to a Star Wars fan, but he knows what sexy shoes are because he sees them on The Neighbor.
Speaking of which, did you guys see all of...
Oh, no.
What?
Did you guys see all the restrictions for the Star Wars
We were
movies?
Just talking
you guys
about
talked
this.
About that? Okay.
Can we take a break? Because Kim Gordon mentioned some of them, but do you have the list?
Yeah, it's on the AMC website, but I can pull that up. Sure.
But what about the list? All right.
All right.
Ryan Burrow, we'll talk Star Wars with him. What not to bring to the movie.
You just threatened his credibility. And there wasn't a lot there to begin with. So where are we now?
There wasn't.
My shoes are fantastic.
Oh,
yes, they
are. You guys are something else. And then you can listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch immediately following and listen to the old Grinch who has to go on the air right away.
Wow.
How about that? I'm not the one complaining.
Listen to that.
Yeah, well, I'm complaining that we have to go back on the air at 1.
Yes, you are, Grinchette.
Although we could be late and make Bertrand just
that
do it.
It might happen. We don't know yet. Ryan Burrow is in studio with us.
It's a twofer.
It's a twofer. Yeah. We're discussing a man in Ohio.
Twofer?
Yeah, it's a number thing. We're discussing a man in Ohio who did the kindest thing that we've ever heard of. He went into two different Walmarts in the Ohio area, and whatever people had on layaway, whether it's $10 or $10,000, he said, you know what? This one's on me. Have a nice Christmas. We don't know who he is, wouldn't give his name, but what a nice thing.
It's a very, very cool story. And like I said, this is happening, you know, around the country. It's probably happening at Walmarts or other stores around here. It's just this one was, you know, $106,000. Does raise some media attention.
Boy, but, is that a lot.
For those people who do it, I mean, what a wonderful thing. And friend, and you know, a lot of these people who do go in and agree to pay, you know, sometimes for children's toys or something like that and don't want to be known. Just so you know, we saw some of the reactions of these people when they went and picked it up. And I mean, it just tears of joy. And happiness, and they're always very thankful. So if you do something like this, know that it is very much appreciated.
Sure, of course.
All right, when I do that with $200,000, I'll let you know.
Sure, got to one up this guy, right?
Yep, you got to. Although,
but don't say your name.
I will have to say my name. I want all the accolades.
People go, James Spader just came in and gave all this money to people so they can pay off their debt.
All right, so Kim Gordon mentioned this in the news about certain things you can't bring to the Star Wars movie. Bill, you're going Thursday night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
What time?
9:15.
Oh, you're going to see it before me.
Yeah, I'm going to call and ruin it for you.
Do not text me pictures of the screen and don't Periscope
Rosebud it. Rosebud is Luke Skywalker's sled.
Stop it!
All right.
So there are things that you want to warn people not to bring into the movie because I'm telling you, there are going to be so many people seeing this movie between now and Friday.
You don't want to be turned away right before you walk in, right?
Right.
So AMC has a policy up on their website right now. They made this public. No weapons, obviously. Items that would make other guests feel uncomfortable. So no fireworks.
No fireworks.
Okay. Who would bring that in? I mean, really, who?
Well, I don't know.
This is an interesting movie. Who knows?
There's fireworks in the Ewok scene.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
Maybe
an exploding Death Star. Can you bring that in?
I've got a story, actually, about the movie Independence Day that I was at, but I'll get to that in just a second.
All right.
All right. Guests are welcome to come dressed in costume, which I'm assuming everyone will be.
No, not.
Toga.
Toga. No masks, so leave the Darth Vader mask at home, the Chewie mask at home. No face paint.
No face paint?
No face
paint. Not fair. I wear makeup. Why can't Star Wars fans wear
I was going to go with Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Ryan, yeah. Ryan, I was going to go with the guys from KISS. Will they let them in with
no,
me? They
nope.
won't?
No
oh,
face
no.
Paint.
Sorry,
Sorry.
You
Simmons.
Stop hanging out with them.
They're
it really makes you look bad.
I guess so.
AMC says lightsabers, fine, but.
Oh!
But. Turn them off during the movie.
Oh, you
no
said
waving
no.
them around.
Some of the theaters are saying
some
no
of the
lightsabers.
Theaters are saying no. Yeah, I know.
I would love to sit in on the meeting over at AMC as they decided. Let's say they can bring them in, but they cannot turn them on. That would be a great meeting.
Get the lightsaber app.
What is the lightsaber
you
app?
You don't have the lightsaber app?
I
don't think
apps.
I have any room on my phone, but
what is it?
I'll find it for you, but it just makes all the sounds.
Yeah, it's called the flashlight. Most phones come
no,
with
it. No, this is different than that.
I tell you, man, I cannot wait for this movie.
Leave the blaster at home, too. No pew-pew.
You can't bring laser blasters?
No.
Oh, man.
Too much resembling a toy weapon.
We brought
so.
Those to Pride and Prejudice, and we had a very nice time.
Hell.
Obviously, there are some security concerns following what we saw happen in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah,
so they're being safe in those regards. And with so many people filling in such a small area in these movie theaters, you know, they're just trying to side, you know, they're trying to be cautious.
Err on the side
Err
of caution.
Side of caution, exactly.
Right, on the dark side of caution.
I see what
they
you did
it
there.
Into a Star Wars thing. Yeah.
Well, there's pretty much you can still bring in. Bill had misled the fans saying that you couldn't bring in a lightsaber.
I'm telling you, there are theaters they announced last night that said under no circumstances can you bring in
lightsabers.
Sure,
you know, I called all the Regal and the, what's the other one, Cinemarks, and they have essentially the same policy. So
I, go to
I
the
suppose
Plit
you should
theaters,
phone
Ryan.
First. Yeah.
And the SNS. I only go to theaters that existed in the 1980s.
Tomorrow, the president is hosting some kids at the White House and some families, and they have a copy that they're. I don't know if he's going to see it before.
I've got to get Jimmy Mack in.
So I wonder what the rules and restrictions are at the White House, because I got to tell you, they pretty much have it on lockdown before you go in. So I would
Does
assume
Obama...
that wearing the Chewbacca head during the movie would be fine.
Chewbacca was my favorite character.
These are not the droids you're looking for. They're fine to go through. I would love to see him just narrate the whole movie. Wow, that would be cool to see it at the White House.
That'd be a lot. Really cool to see a movie at the White House.
That would be excellent. Well, now, what is that?
These are
What's
all. This is
here?
The lightsaber app.
I thought
and
it was
I can,
Bertrand chewing up there.
I can duel with you. I can.
Just don't fan duel. That's
can you
a,
read
that's
slowly
illegal.
To us?
Can I what?
I guess not.
Here we go.
I don't even know what that noise is. What is that?
I don't know.
The chimes? Those are the wind chimes out in front of IG88's apartment. It's a scene they cut from the final. Yeah, he's got a two flat.
Oh, those are the chimes
That's
again.
That's the church bells.
Oh.
For when Greedo got married.
This is Salacious Crumb eating or something. I don't know what
that
is.
Wow, they go really obscure.
Oh, there's the lightsaber.
This is Salacious Crumb having a Hot Pocket. Listen.
This is awesome. Do you guys need me here anymore?
Look at you can use your own lightsaber. You don't have to bring yours in.
This sounds like me shaving.
That sounds like Jaws to me.
It does sound like Jaws. Yeah.
That was me just doing it in my rhythmic.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah.
Use the force, Bill.
Use the force, Luke. I want to see Obama narrate the entire movie.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be cool.
All right, I can't turn it
off. Michelle
now.
Be elbowing him the whole time?
Right, right.
Not
I can't
funny.
Believe I married
Stop
you.
It.
You broke my Malibu gyms.
Maui gym. I can't turn it. I don't know how to turn it off.
It doesn't turn off. Once you turn it on, it's forever.
Crap.
It's a light
that.
Forever saber.
Yep.
All right, well, enjoy it. It's a lightsaber app, and it's free.
Ryan, thank you very much for reporting on the story. Again, a man in Ohio, a selfless man, paying over $100,000 to give people the best Christmas ever. What a nice story.
Cool story.
Really
Ryan,
is.
We voted. We don't want you to come back upstairs.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, can I play with the stuff in your office?
Sure.
All right.
Please don't be more specific. We don't want it. We have no idea what that means, and it's better left that way. We'll take a quick break and then a lot more show ahead. Thanks, Ryan. Back after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Before we get to news, I think we go live to a preview of what's going to happen at the White House as President Barack Obama will be hosting some kids tomorrow night, is it?
Yeah, tomorrow night he's got a bunch of kids coming to the White House. And we thought it would be funny for him to narrate Star Wars. Kevin, is there music? Can you do the opening credits to Star Wars and I'll have Obama narrate the beginning? Is that possible? All right. Kevin's looking for that. Yeah, I don't know if it's a charity event or what the situation is, but there'll be a bunch of kids at the White House watching Star Wars with the Obama family.
That would be great. I got to see if I can get Jimmy Mack in there.
Wouldn't that be fun to see it there?
All right. Go ahead, Kev.
All right. Do you have it?
It is a period of civil war in the galaxy. A brave alliance of underground freedom fighters has challenged the tyranny and oppression of the awesome Galactic Empire. Well, striking from a fortress hidden among the billion stars of the galaxy, rebel spaceships have won their first victory in a battle with a powerful Imperial Starfleet. The Empire fears that another defeat could bring 1,000 more solar systems into the rebellion. The Imperial control over the galaxy would be lost forever.
If you were just a little... You know, if you could translate that a little higher, you could be Kermit the Frog.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
That was really good, Bill. Good job.
And he'll do the whole movie tomorrow, so if you have a chance,
it.
Go see it.
It's a one-man show.
Know, maybe next year at Ravinia, they'll play it, the orchestra will play live, and you can narrate it.
That was sensational. I'd vote for you, Bill. All right, this is turning into our Christmas show. We just heard about a nice man who walked into a couple of Walmarts in the Ohio area and basically paid off people's layaway so they could have a Merry Christmas. And now we are going to talk about something that I will never share with anyone. Over my dead body will I ever share these.
Wendy, Grant Reporter's here. Grant is the CEO of Harry Carey's. Perhaps you've heard of them, one of our city's finest eating establishments. Grant, first of all, thank you for being here. Great to see you again.
I'm glad to be here.
A couple of years ago, the people over at Harry Carey's developed, I guess it falls under the guise of a snack, although it's so much more than a snack.
It's a phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon.
Ba-bee-da-bee-dee.
Phenomenon.
Ba-bee-dee-bee.
Can't help ourselves. It is, without a doubt, one of the best snacks I've ever had. Tell everybody what we're talking about.
Well, Harry Carey's opened up in 1987, and we've always sold potato chips in the bar, and people come far and wide to get them. Reader's Digest picked it as the number one munchie in America. And 2 years ago, my wife Joanna thought it would be fun, like for the holidays, to put them in chocolate. And I remember we kind of debuted them on your show 2 years ago, and you guys talked about it. Next thing you know, we had a million people calling the restaurant demanding them.
Sorry about that.
And we didn't have any to sell. This time we have a limited edition of chocolate covered potato chips. They're made with either dark Belgian chocolate or
milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They are so good.
I mean, really, it takes, and it's, you get the good potato chips that you guys have, and you have chocolate. It's like, you know, who got your peanut butter and my chocolate?
Right.
This is way better than that to me.
It's a great combination.
Oh, my God. The salt, the sweet, and they're definitely popular. Will you please share your story with Grant, what happened last year?
It's a story
tragic,
that
tale
I
of
guess
woe.
Should be a funny story, but I'm going to tear up when I tell you this story, Grant, so be prepared. I may need a handkerchief or something like this. Last year, you guys were kind enough to give Wendy and myself some bags of these chocolate potato chips, and I look forward to them all year. And as Wendy pointed out, I do the same thing when I bring them home. My family knows about them, but when we have company, we hide them in a safe. We lock them in a safe because I don't want to share them with anybody. They're limited and they're delicious. Well, we had them on the table the day that you guys brought us. We had the bags on the table. And my daughter was going to school that day and thought that those were the gifts for her teachers, which were right next to them on the table. So when I came home from work, the bags were gone. And I said to Terry, what happened to all the potato chips? And she said, I don't know. They were on the kitchen table. And she said, right over there where all of Kylie's teachers' gifts are. Kylie brought them to her teachers, gave them each a bag of the potato chips, and I've not spoken to Kylie since. It'll be a year on Wednesday.
She did get straight A's that year, though.
Yeah. That is a very sad story.
Isn't that a sad story?
I can see you tearing up.
But the teachers, like when we went to a parent-teacher conference at the end of the year, they were so nice to us and wanted more and more and more. Why don't you do these all year? Why is this just a Christmas thing?
It's a lot of work for one, and you know, because they're very fresh. There's no preservatives or anything like that. So you know, the lifespan is only a certain amount of time. But we thought it'd just be a fun thing to do for the holidays because they are so much work to make.
Boy, are they good!
They're worth it. And can you get them at all the Harry Caray's locations?
No, you can get them at the Harry Caray's in River North on Kinsey Street, or the Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse in Rosemont at Mannheim and Higgins, or Harry Caray's Tavern at Navy Pier. Those are the three locations that we have a limited supply.
Yeah,
got to get in there, people, because you know Christmas is a coming 9 days away. I just found out. I better start my shopping.
Right.
And maybe my kids could use some A's. Maybe I will share
them. You could bribe a teacher with these. That's not a hard thing to do.
Grant, when Bill told me the story last year, though, you know, all those bags, you know, Kylie brought them to all her teachers, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I thought you were looking at me like maybe I would give you some of mine, and I didn't share with him.
No, I wouldn't either.
I didn't.
I would not do it either. There are now Harry Caray's in other cities, correct? It's not just Chicago?
Well, in Illinois, other cities, yes.
But were you guys looking to do other cities, or will it always just be an Illinois thing, do you think?
A lot of people thought we should be out by Mesa.
Yeah.
You know, where the Cubs had the spring training facility. Yeah. I did look out there. There's not a lot of restaurants in Mesa. You know, it's a little quieter.
Yeah.
We looked at Las Vegas once, and that's crazy.
That's what I think. That would be, but it didn't work, huh? You didn't want to do that?
Well, they made us offers, but it's kind of like you pay a minimum of $300 a square foot rent and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really expensive.
Seem...
Yeah. No, and then we looked at St. Louis because, Harry was with the Cardinals for 25 years.
Right.
The Cardinals actually honored Harry September 7th with a bobblehead of Harry calling Stan Musial's 3,000th.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
yeah,
cute.
So they still have a lot of love for him down there. When you really look at Harry, he represented the three Illinois teams because it's the Chicago Cubs for 16 years, the White Sox for 11, and the Cardinals, because everything south of Peoria is pretty much Cardinals.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I know your signal goes pretty far south.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people south Peoria are listening right now. But
he was in Oakland, too, for a little while.
Just 1 year.
One year?
Yeah, Charlie O'Finley owned the Oakland A's, and you put Harry and Charlie O'Finley in the same room. It was
caustic.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
They're probably too much alike. You know, it doesn't work that way.
You know what? That's true. They're very similar personalities, bigger than life personalities.
Right, absolutely.
Grant, when the Cubs have a season like they had last season and we expect them to have now for the next few seasons, I'm guessing that this affects business a little bit in a good way.
Yeah, it was a great way. Yeah. After 2008, you know, they kind of went in a tailspin for a while. And, you know, our brand is so, you know, tied to the Cubs that a long time ago when the Cubs were like in the playoffs, you'd see a giant spike. Like I think it was like worth $500,000 in sales if they hit the playoffs. And this year, like our Kinsey Street restaurant is just having a tremendous year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause you kind of use that as the barometer because it's been around for so long, but it's way up. And, you know, it does look good for a number of years going forward.
For years to come.
Yeah, we have Carrie Wood's big charity event that's during the Cubs convention. WGN Radio is actually the official radio station of the event. And the tickets are selling through the roof. You can't. It's January 15th, you know, and all the Cubs will be there.
Yeah.
But the booths that are all sold out already. You can only buy single, you know, admission to go in. But last year, you know, it was a totally different story. It was hard. It was a hard ticket to
sell. Yeah.
But everything tied to the Cubs is just going through the roof right now, which is fun.
That's how it should be.
This city deserves it, really. Yeah. I'm a Sox fan who I didn't jump on the bandwagon, but I really was hoping for the Cubs to do well because it was it's your turn.
Sure.
You know, I felt really guilty.
Yeah.
It felt like this year we could have gotten to the World Series. We beat the Mets 7 times this year.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they sweep us. That was very unexpected.
But the good news is the team isn't standing pat on last year. They've already made some very nice improvements. They just picked up a couple of – Jason Hayward is going to help the team, and John Lackey's going to help the team. I think they're headed in an even better direction, don't you?
I know. It'd be kind of like what the Atlanta Braves were when they stole Greg Maddux. You know, we might have like a next decade of you know, a different team. I mean, the Ricketts family is so committed to winning, so it's pretty exciting.
Can you also talk about the beer you brought in? Is that readily available? There's a new kind of beer that you guys have?
Well, it's very limited edition, too. Yeah. We always thought his name should be on a beer. So we worked with Ale Syndicate, which is a local brewer here, and came up with Harry's Seventh Inning Ale. And it's bottled in a 22-ounce bottle. And we thought we'd be selling that with the holidays, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, the bottle looks really cool. It's got a microphone. Old school.
An old-fashioned microphone on it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's kind of the kind of beer that Harry would have liked because he could have more than one.
There are stories that he did from time to time have more than one. Yeah. Now, you guys weren't – remember, there was a pop for a while called Holy Cow that had Harry's picture on it. That wasn't you guys, though, was it?
Harry was – No, it was us. It was something that Harry wanted to sell in the restaurants. It was Harry's idea. He actually brought a cow into the restaurant on the second floor to kind of kick it off. But his bottler went out of business. They were based in St. Louis. So we sold it for probably 5 years.
Did you? Yeah.
Grant DePorter in the studio with us, CEO of Harry Caray's Restaurant Group. And again, these chocolate-covered potato chips are really the most amazing thing in the world. They come in milk chocolate or dark chocolate. Very limited supply. And they're available now at Kinsey location, Navy Pier location, and the Rosemont location.
Right.
Go to harrycarys.com to find out more. And what is that beer called?
Seventh Inning Ale, or Harry Caray's Seventh Inning Ale.
Seventh Inning Ale.
Both are on the label.
And it tells his story on the back of the bottle, which is as much of it as you could tell in a short, you don't have that much room to work with, but you tell the story beautifully.
Yeah, we think it's the kind of beer Harry would like. Like, we quantified that he had consumed about 300,000 alcoholic drinks in his lifetime, and so he was an expert.
I think it would qualify him as an expert, yeah.
And 300,000 million is zero, zero, zero backwards.
right.
That is a beautiful little keepsake bottle, so when someone does enjoy the nice, cool seventh inning ale, they can put that up on a shelf because it really is a beautiful bottle.
Right. Mm. We thought that people would want to do it.
Keep up the good work. Everything is always delicious at Harry Caray's, and everybody we've ever turned on to these chocolate potato chips, all of a sudden, their eyes light up.
Yes, you started a cult like following, I think, the two of you did.
Well, I'll tell you, Grant, I didn't see chocolate-covered chips anywhere before you guys brought that in 2 years ago.
Right.
You and Beth, I think, came by with them, and I never saw chocolate-covered chips anywhere, and then after that, I kept seeing other brands come up with them in the grocery stores. Not even close.
Yeah, they're definitely – well, they have – those have a shelf life. They have preservatives and all kinds of stuff in them, and they taste definitely different.
Good, because they're going to be on the shelf for a while because they're not nowhere near as good.
You blow them away. Grant, great to see you. Have a great holiday. We appreciate you being here. We urge everybody to visit Harry Caray's, eat there, enjoy the chocolate-covered potato chips. You won't go wrong. Take care.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
If you wish that you were handier around the house, learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from the local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench, Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV.
We were discussing something off the air that I don't know that we should talk about on the air, but...
Nope. What was it?
Nope, we can't say.
All right, we won't.
We cannot say.
Come on.
Did you hear about this guy? Now, I know that the world is just now starting to understand transgender people, that this is a fairly new concept, and for many of us, we're not sure
the terminology to use. We're not sure a lot about the transgender world, but it's becoming more commonplace.
It is, and I know that Caitlyn Jenner has kind of opened the door a little bit.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's here. I find that our kids have no issues with it.
My daughters, it's no big deal at all.
None.
In California, we were having lunch at a restaurant, and there was somebody who I believe was born a man but is transgendering and had characteristics of both sexes at the next table. And I was thinking there was a time where everybody in the restaurant would have stared at that table, and that really didn't happen much at all.
No, and there was a kid in our neighborhood, which I asked Michael, I said, oh, who's that kid? Do you know her? And Michael says to me, well, I know her, but she's not her anymore because she identifies with a guy now.
Right.
And I'm like, it was just so matter-of-factly the way he said it. And I mean, that's what's going on.
It's progress.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. That said, there is a story that's out. I saw it a couple of days ago, but there's a bigger story out today about a transgender person in Canada, born a man, wants to be not just a woman, but is trans. I don't even think you can say transgendering in this case, but wants to be a six-year-old girl.
All right. See, now I'm willing to accept anything, but you got to help me understand.
I don't understand it. I've read the story and I still don't understand
it.
I'm
sorry. I wish I was a 6-year-old girl once again because I didn't have bills. Right. All I had to worry about was when my nap time was and what I'm getting for a snack.
Right.
And maybe sitting on Santa's lap.
Those are the things I worry about now, and I'm not a young girl. A Canadian transgender father left behind a wife and 7 children to begin a new life as a 6-year-old girl. Stephanie Walsh, and Stephanie spells her name in a very non-traditional way, Stefonkenee. That's Stephanie. Stephanie Walsh
what?
Has been married. I know.
Are you sure it's not Stefanke?
I don't think it is, although it is kind of. Has been married for 23 years and now realized that she is transgender. She's living with an adoptive family. She does not want to be, and I quote here, an adult right now.
Well, neither do I.
I can't deny that I was married. I can't deny that I have children, but I've moved forward now, and I've gone back to being a child, she said in a video series for the Transgender Project. Ms. Walsh says that her wife could not accept her as a transgender woman. She was told to either stop being trans or leave. Now, to me, I can understand somebody saying, thought I was a guy, but I'm more comfortable as a woman, or the other way around. But it doesn't make sense to say, but even though I'm 46, I really want to pretend those last 40 years weren't what they were. So let's pretend I'm not just a girl, but I'm a 6-year-old girl.
I don't think you can do that, can you?
You can't do that.
No, I mean, seriously, being a kid, and the more I look at my kid, there was something that changed in me watching Dylan turn from 12 to 13. It's like, now I have 2 teenage boys.
Right.
Where are my babies?
Right.
Boy, you know, welcome to the teenage world. Life gets a little harder now.
Yeah.
Still not as hard as it's going to be when you're in your 20s and then your 30s and then your 40s. I wish I could go back to when life was easy as a kid.
Well, I think because we both, and we've discussed it even on today's show, because we both hold this thing for nostalgia and how life was when you were younger. Everybody has an element to that, but then there's a line that might have been crossed here. When Phil Donahue had his show, the strangest episode I ever saw of Phil Donahue's show, because I used to watch that almost every day, there's these people who have this thing called infantilism, where even though they're adults, they like to act like babies. So they dress in diapers. And they bring in people to like hold them and cuddle
them
and change them
and bathe them
and bathe them
and give them baby food and
they
bottles.
They drink out of bottles and stuff. And not their whole life because they have regular jobs, but when they want to relax, they.
That's not how I relax.
That's
you know
how
what?
I relax either.
I don't want somebody changing my diapers to make me relax. That'll happen later
not
on
yet,
in life.
Right.
Now, Michelle wants to jump in because she might be more on target for what you're discussing from the Phil Donahue show.
All right.
Michelle, are you puzzled by this too?
So, a little bit.
Yeah.
I was thinking, isn't that sounds more like a fetish to me than an actual transitional type of
Yeah, I agree.
Like a whole lifestyle. That's what I was thinking is I could see if somebody wants to do this in like a hobby capacity or a fetish, but not to spend the rest of your life pretending that you're a six-year-old girl. I don't think you can do that, can you?
You can't. You can change your gender, but you can't time travel.
Right.
Seriously.
Amelia Bedelia did it. She stayed six.
She is not a real person.
That's fake, Steve.
What?
That's fake.
That's true. If the other bothersome, not bothersome, I shouldn't say that. The other thing is if it's a man that wants to be a six-year-old girl, that's kind of a red flag, too. No?
Right.
See,
Steve, remember the year that you pretended you were Pippi Longstocking for
a
year?
That was
a tough year
Bring
for you.
Bring it back, will
it
you?
Mostly the hair. I just wanted to do the hair.
And, you know, I'm with you, Michelle. And the whole transgender thing, I don't understand, but I accept because I can't imagine when you hear about these young kids. Some of them. Like you don't even understand how, you know, but they feel like they're of the different sex. I can't imagine what they're going through inside, and I can't imagine them coming forth and saying, you know, I identify with the other sex, because it's not going to be an easy life for them. So great for them that they're standing up for what they believe, but now this is where it turns twisted, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. And I was going to bring up, I couldn't remember where I had seen it, but with what Bill said of the adults dressing in diapers with pacifiers and having a caregiver take care of them, it kind of reminded me
of this a little bit. Yeah, infantilism. Yeah. I remember the name.
You were shocked, believe it or not.
Oh,
I was too.
It is shocking.
Why did we all see that episode of Phil Donahue?
I don't know.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah, and it might have been one of those HBO adult, you know, fetish shows at night where they...
Oh, yeah, Real Sex. That's where I saw it.
It was on Real Sex 20.
That might have been it. But yep.
Oh, we got a break for news.
Oh.
All right.
Speaking of Real Sex.
Thank you, Michelle. Take care.
Did you say Real Sex 20?
Yeah. Because it was like Real Sex 8, next on Real Sex 17, next on Real Sex 23. Every one of them had another
you
number.
You
got
to slow down
episode.
And enjoy your real sex a little more. You can't jump from 3 to 17 to 20.
I know. Well, I learned that the hard way, didn't I? A break. More show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you very much. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Once again, for anybody who's wondering how they get a hold of these chocolate potato chips that we're talking about, just visit Harry Carey's over on Kinsey.
Go inside my stomach and get them
or
out.
Or visit inside Wendy's stomach. If only there was a product like Natron to help clear up any stomach problems. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm guessing everybody's familiar with Bob Costas at this point, right?
Well,
everybody knows who Bob Costas is.
I love him.
He's great.
For someone, I mean, now that I am way on the hockey train, I finally know what it's like for a person to love sports.
Yeah.
I would go through the motions a lot. Before, I loved the White Sox and I would watch a game, but I have gotten so into hockey. Even prior to my love of that, I could listen to Bob Costas talk about any sports-related thing ever and love what he's doing.
He's that good, isn't he?
He's fantastic.
He really is that good. Bob Costas also, in addition to doing sports, for a while was the host of the show Later on NBC, which used to be on, it was The Tonight Show, then The Tomorrow Show, and then Later with Bob Costas. And even though his background is sports, he would have on people from the world of music or people from the world of comedy. Richard Lewis in particular, he'd have on like every other month or every third month. And he was well-schooled, and no matter what he talked
about.
Great
interviewer.
Yeah, he was so good. I love Bob Costas.
Is he no longer with us?
No, Bob Costas is still very much alive. There's no reason to believe Bob Costas has passed away. He hasn't. As a matter of fact, he's in the news today because of his comments about football. Now, there's a movie coming out, I think on Christmas Day, called Concussion, which tells the true story of a doctor who was the first one to draw any kind of a parallel between, and it seems, when you think about it, it seems fairly easy to figure out, big, strong guys running into each other every couple of seconds
head first,
on a football
a
field.
A lot of times.
Head first. How could anyone not think to themselves, well, this is going to cause some permanent damage, especially in the brain department? And as it turns out, that's exactly what's happening. So in this movie, in Concussion, they tell the story of this doctor who drew the parallels and said to the NFL, hey, you guys have to do something about this, because all the guys playing your game are going to have permanent damage, and the NFL kind of just looked the other way and did their best to discredit this doctor.
Well, Bob Costas just came out with some statements a day or so ago saying football's biggest problem is football itself, that if they don't do something, and he gave the numbers out. I'll read you the stats in just a little bit. It's something like 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 players, guys who make it to the NFL, end up with some sort of permanent brain damage as a result of playing football.
Seriously?
That's when you think about a number like that, if it were any other kind of business, no matter what you did, if the stats came back, and I know that they're highly compensated, I understand that they make a lot of money to do this, but would you get into a profession where 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 people in your profession ended up with brain damage? It's terrible.
No. And, you know, I think back to my brother played football in junior high, I guess, and high school regularly.
Yeah.
And he was a running back. And I remember, God, I don't even know what year this was, late 70s.
Yeah.
They designed a special helmet for him and another running back with some gel in there.
Yeah.
And that was in the late 70s. So they obviously knew something was going on.
They had to know.
Back then.
They had to. Here's a quote from Bob Costas. Listen to this. And again, the numbers are in here, and you just hear these numbers and you go, uh-oh. You can't, is Bob Costas talking, or I'm channeling him. You can't play football at the highest level without a substantial portion of players suffering some sort of brain trauma. The league has already directly acknowledged, now this is a fact that the NFL acknowledges this. Listen to this. The league has already directly acknowledged that somewhere between 25 and 30%, that's the NFL's estimate, of players will sustain some measure of brain difficulty subsequent to their playing careers. So that means that they're admitting, the NFL is admitting to the fact that 1 out of 4 or almost 1 out of 3, if it's 25 to 30%, they're nodding their head going, yeah, we get it. That many people will end up with brain trauma as a result of the game.
At least they can nod their head.
Right.
Some of the people can't. Seriously. Right. I mean, even think about like the your brain stem and the damage you could get from that. I mean, it's, you're leading with your head. It's like two rams running into each other.
Yeah. So I've often thought about, I mean, I have two daughters, so the odds of them playing football were slim, but had they been boys, and I've got friends in this situation, I have a cousin in this situation with kids in high school that are playing high school football, and anytime the topics come up, they always say the same thing. I'm nervous about it, I don't like it, but it's such a big game, it's such a big deal when you're in high school or college, or if you make it as far as the pros, it's such a big deal to play America's most popular sport. But look at the price you pay.
And I'm glad my kids weren't really into it. They're not really athletes. Yeah. Although Dylan is getting into floor hockey now because he's obsessed a little with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I'm like, floor hockey, that's okay.
A lot safer.
I honestly, I'm so relieved they weren't into football.
Right. Well, he talks about how other sports have their problems. Like he talked about how baseball had to handle the steroid situation. And he said, but with that, it's a whole different animal because the problem isn't the game itself. With the NFL, the problem is it's football that's causing the problem. It's not like with steroids where guys are going out and getting juiced up and playing the game. The problem with the NFL is the NFL itself. It's the game of football that's causing the problem.
Well, what do you do to change that?
Two-hand touch.
No, who's going to watch that?
Nobody.
I might watch flag football.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have anywhere near the impact. I mean, they always estimate the amount of money that football brings in across the board. So you can start with the gambling that goes on with football. You can talk about the money that bars make because they're showing football games. You can talk about all the revenue across the board. There was a report on 60 Minutes 2 years ago that talked about if football didn't exist at these universities, that they couldn't fund all their other sports programs. All their sports would go away if football went away. Football pays for every other sport at pretty much every college in the United States. It's terrible. Even watching the game, and I love the game of football. I love to watch it, but there's always a twinge of guilt going, even though I'm watching this and I'm enjoying it, these guys are going to pay the price. And I know they make a lot of money.
It's their decision, too, Bill.
It is their decision.
I mean, it's one thing to, you know, and I am not knocking any parent out there that has their kid playing football.
Right.
Because a lot of that is, you know, the father has played football and the...
Right.
It continues. The tradition continues in the family, and that's fine. That's your business.
But wouldn't you tell... If either of the boys came to you and said, I really think this is my career path, is playing football, high school, college, and hopefully the pros, would you even spend a minute saying, hey, consider what normally happens, or I shouldn't say normally, 25 to 30% if you follow the NFL stats. That's the price you'll pay. You'll make money for a couple of years.
They don't want to hear that. And honestly, I'm rude enough, and I don't mean this in a mean way. I would say that's what you want to do for a career.
Yeah.
Do you know the percentage of people that go on from high school to even college ball that make it to the pros?
Right.
Maybe you should look into another thing. I mean, look, at one of my kids wants to major in music. He may not ever get a job in that career.
Right.
But at least hopefully he'll be healthy unless he drops a guitar on his foot.
True. Very
true. Break a toe.
Yeah, that's better.
But, you know, have a backup, have a business thing. And I feel very sad for some of the kids playing football, and even high school football, because it's so funny reading, like, Dylan's sixth grade yearbook, where, you know, kids will put what they want to do. And it's like, I hope to become a professional basketball player
sure.
someday. Hope to become a professional football player someday. It's like, kids really
have a backup plan.
Yeah, because there's like 20 of the kids in a class of 200 that are saying that.
Right.
Maybe none of them will
right.
go on.
The kids that were the best, and I could tell you across the board in every sport who were the best basketball, football, and baseball players at our school, not a single one of them made the pros. And they were really good. Really good. And nobody came close.
I know. And that's heartbreaking. As a parent, I know your kids have to suffer through things and life isn't always perfect and there's going to be some failure. But to think that kid's dream of being a professional athlete is probably never going to come to
right.
fruition.
Right.
I would like to steer them in another direction.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Every line is ringing. We're at 312-981-7200. We're talking about the concussion effect of the NFL. What do we do? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Bob Costas has called his share of professional sporting events, including football. He says the problem with football, especially the NFL, is football itself, that you're looking for some serious brain injuries if you continue playing football. But the problem is, what do we do about it?
And Bill has called us, listener Bill, 312-981-7200. What's up, Bill?
Wendy, yes. I agree with you wholeheartedly. These guys are old enough. They can read. They know what the statistics are, and they make a conscious decision to go ahead and get into that profession. I also agree with your statements. The focus should really be at the college and the high school level, because not many college ball players make it to the pros.
Someone is saying 0.3% college football players make pro.
Right? That's
exactly.
The number? 0.3%.
That's sad.
You know,
that's 1 in 300.
Yes. That's right. And they need to understand that. That's where I would do the education issues at the college level, that when they get into college football, everybody has that hope and dream, but they need to know what those statistics are. Their parents, no matter how old those guys are, they need to know those statistics so they can direct them accordingly. We cannot, okay, as a society, do parenting. I think we should focus our efforts on the high school level, where there are some really good guidelines, state guidelines that said, if you're going to play football, here's what we require.
But, Bill, isn't a school working against itself? If a school's game is to recruit and bring kids in at the high school level or the college level, the more they educate kids about the dangers of the game, the harder it is for them to find quality players, because a smarter guy will go, well, I don't need that. I don't want to live the rest of my life with brain damage.
Well, let's take a look at those percentages. You know, 0.3, one. So what is it? 1 in 100, 3 in 100.
Well, this is according to a texter, so you know, don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And well, I mean, are kids in high school really thinking about, like, if you say, you know, you might have brain damage someday?
I could see a lot of high school kids
saying, "Yeah, well, I'll deal with it then."
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I wasn't suggesting that be at the high school level. The college people should be educated. Okay, would they go into that sport? They should be told, this is what the odds are of you getting into the NHL. After, you know, it's all got to be a part of the recruitment. And where are the parents? I mean, come on.
They see dollar signs. They see multi-million dollar contracts and huge signing bonuses, and they go, wow.
Well, they also see, let's let our kids do what they love to do.
Yeah, and there certainly is an issue with that. I agree. But again, all they need to do is absorb the information, make a decision. Let's not hide the information from them. Let's glorify the multi-million-dollar contracts. I think at the high school level, they shouldn't be told about those things necessarily. They should be protected with the equipment. There should be equipment requirements. You don't need to change the game. Yeah, well, there are certain restrictions as to how you tackle and block and so on and so forth, and those need to be reinforced consistently.
All right, couldn't agree with you more. That's a good idea, Bill. I don't know if it'll happen. We thank you so much for calling. Some great texts here. Here's what's going on, according to 563. When talking about football head injuries, I do believe we're doing something in regards to reducing the number of head injuries by looking at concussions and saying, you know what, you can't play because you had a concussion.
Right.
That's a step in the right direction, for sure. Also, they're making better helmets, better rules on regarding how you tackle another player. So I think the NFL is being a little bit productive. We know that football is not going to go away. That from 563. Other people say that 815, hockey, neck could be cut by a skate. Race car, crash, ski jumping, ski downhill, racing, baseball, hitting the head with a baseball. All deadly sports. Yeah, football has more chances for head injuries, but no player had a gun put to his head to sign.
But it's the only sport. Of all those sports you mentioned, it's the only sport where every play, there's not a single play in football.
Boxing.
Yeah, all right, boxing too. And I guess you could say wrestling too. And water polo, but you'd be wrong on water polo. But
water ballet.
Synchronized swim, that's dangerous. Yes. But every single play is designed to have you you're a 300-pound guy and you're going to crash at full speed into another 300-pound guy. That's how the game is played. It's impossible to get out of that without some sort of injury.
All right, 847 has the answer to everybody's prayers.
What is it?
Michelin Man outfits.
I do like the idea of Michelin Man outfits.
That's the only way we're going to solve it.
I love it. All right, we'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.